bloody cracker.
Yep. On the agenda.
Martin beat me that one over there.
We'll do it next time. Yeah. It's 8:46 on the clock. We'll call to order the Board of Equalization meeting. Not Board of Supervisors meeting, excuse me. And we'll recite the Pledge of Allegiance. All who can rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall there. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. Consent agenda. Number one is a general agenda. Number two is approve minutes of meeting held August 19, 2015. Approve all claims through September 2, 2015 in the amount of $533,711.59. Accept claim number 1509011 to R.L. Tiemann Construction in the amount of $69,358.28, and claim number 1509091 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $319.31 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve of reappointing Marlene Galkey.
Gakely,
G-A-K-L-E, to the Blue Rivers Area Agency on Aging Governing Board for another three-year term ending July 2018. Approved canceling check number 1508022 issued to Wayne Price in the amount of $953.57. And approved Pickerel Rural Fire District Wymore Rescue and Odell Volunteer Fire and Rescue EMS Extension Agreements. Entertain a motion to approve consent agenda.
I would move to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Any discussion on there, Matt?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question regarding, or a comment rather, regarding the Blue Rivers Area Agency. I have had conversation with former board member Rex Adams, who also serves there, and he wishes to no longer serve. I have asked him to send a formal email. And then I would invite any board member who wants to contact him personally to get his feedback on the operations. I'll just say that.
We also have one other member, I think, on the letter that you should have a copy of if they're needing replaced besides Marlene. New appointment as well on that one. But if anybody has any
Any more comments? Vote 7-0 to approve consent agenda. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items.
I'll wait for you to get into the budget deal.
The budget in our public hearing there.
I'll have some comments.
Okay. Anybody else? Seeing none. Need a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 1509011 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $69,358.28.
I would move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Juergens. Other discussion, this is for the gravel and so on that Tiemann's been hauling, and Eric being a part of that. We pulled that off and going on that separate. So, vote. Six in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Approve or disapprove claim number 1509001 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $319.31.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Tiemann. Here again, that's a project that Terry's business did. Vote. 6-0 with Juergens abstaining. Committee's report. I see Dave showed up here for Buildings. Want to come up and talk Buildings and Ground or whatever you have?
Yeah, I thought Dave wasn't going to be here and wanted to mention we have some issues still over the Sheriff's Department, and we have a door over there that just won't work no matter what we do. And yes. So the Sheriff and I were discussing that, but he's watching everything else carefully, so he's not listening this morning.
That's always a lot of fun over there.
Anyway, Dave, we have some issues on the outside, too, that are... So
yeah, we Got a bid earlier from Kidwell to run fiber optic over, and we found out that the conduit running from the courthouse to the sheriff's office, they tried getting a pull string through there and a rope through there, and they just cannot get it. It must be spooled in there. It's tight. So they informed us that it'd be really hard to get fiber optic through there. So they did give us a bid on running a new conduit, and that is $5,769. And what this would do would be to go from this point right here, and it'd go to the front of the sheriff's building instead of going around to the backside where it came in the old way. It came in through the boiler room. This would be more convenient for it to just come right into the front of the building. And so the other bid to run the fiber optic was $8,875, and we're asking for a revised bid on that because the length of the fiber optic itself would be half that amount now since it's coming into the front of the building, but we have not heard back from them at this time yet, so I don't know exactly what the amount would be. But we did talk about there's an additional to add $3,358 to the base bid proposal to upgrade the 12-strand fiber to the 24-strand fiber, which probably wouldn't be a bad idea because we are depending on the old fiber optic that goes into the back room. That's 20-some years old. If that does go bad, we're back to needing to run another fiber through a conduit again. So if the bid comes back cheaper because of the length, it might not be a bad idea to get the extra fiber.
Is that conduit going to be big enough where we can run other things through it?
Yes. I don't know the width, but they said that they would be able to run more things through it. So I think the other one was a 4-inch, I believe it was. So the trouble with the other one, we have three 90-degree turns in it, and that's where they think the problem is where it made a bend in there. So,
well, you'll bring that back to us when you get the quotes.
I'll do that. And as far as the rest of the issues, Greg Dennis is coming today. They're going to start up on our building, seeing where they're going to set up at and all that good stuff. And as far as the sheriff's building, we do have a issue with this. We have a broken sewer pipe over there that goes right into the basement floor, so we contacted Reitzman, and I think they're going to have to probably dig out into the basement and replace that broken sewer pipe.
Is that in the jail part or in the office part?
In the old office part, in the basement part, of the house, yeah. So we're trying to take care of that, and then, with the door issue, that might be just something like a closure or something that needs to be replaced.
On this building, when they start washing that, did he think that'll stop the flaking then altogether?
I know it sure would help it. I think what it would do would be to knock off the stuff that's loose on there and then prevent anything else from happening.
I thought about that more. I wonder how much of that anyone would ever notice if we didn't just wash that and actually stop the damage. Mm-hmm. If it would stop and it still looks good, because it still looks good now,
right. Mm-hmm.
Until you get close, most of us are never going to be up there right next to it. Right next to it.
And that's where there's a lot of bad areas up on top of the tower area and all that, where you don't notice it from the street or anything. It makes a difference. The middle section of the building is that flat surface sandstone. That's where you really notice it. The rest of it is like rock faced, and you really wouldn't notice it as much in those areas.
I wonder if Wyatt's here. Maybe you could visit with him some, because we had talked about having somebody local trying to wash it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could visit with him some, see how feasible that is, because if we could stop that damage, that could save us a lot in the long run.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Dave. Equalization.
Nothing.
Covered that. Finance, insurance.
There, we had a discussion about an insurance issue. I don't know if we need to rehash that in closed session later. We have some personnel things we could talk about, but as far as the budget, we'll talk about that later. I didn't know, going through the claims, if there was anything else that came up, because I had to leave. So,
Nope. Part of the insurance we may talk in closed session later, but also part of it, I think, is that we did have a large claim come in that kind of was actually in last year's.
At the end of our
fiscal year.
Our plan year.
I'd made a comment about how good our employees had done. Well, we did have a large claim come in that the county will be paying the $45,000 that we're liable for, or our insurance carrier will pick up the rest. It was a little over $200,000 claim come in for one of our employees, so that we weren't aware of until it came in here later and everything. So our county will be picking up the $45,000, which responsible for, which our county is, that is part of our self-insurance, that's ours, and the reinsuring company will be picking up the rest. How that will affect us going forward, we're not sure, other than generally our rates the last few years have been based on the amount of our claims. So we don't know this next year how that's going to play out then when our new rates have come out a year from now almost, you know, or whatever. So, but our rates for this year still were set before this, and they were not aware of this and everything when the rates were set, and then you set them there in the end of August or whatever. So, right. But this claim did come in for that. Like I said, I spoke too soon there at the end of August, so said that how good they were doing, and then something like that happened or whatever, but it did happen. We did have a claim come in for that amount, over 200 and some thousand. So, but because it's a personnel issue, we will be discussing one thing with that during closed session because of the personnel part of it. Nothing to do with the claim, just that the claim has come in, though. So, human resource.
Nothing.
Nope. Law enforcement, emergency management.
I think most of what we got we will cover in budget talks, unless Gus wants to talk about his sewer problem some more.
Don't flush the toilet until it's fixed.
Heard enough sewer talk.
Yeah. Just I'll bring up just a little bit that the jail inspection, Gus visited with us Monday about the jail inspection people were down, and had a few things, but that report still until the fire marshal is here with okay that. So.
Yeah, until the fire marshal checks off, it's not complete.
So. Until fire marshal checks off, it's not complete. But some interior paint needed, and maybe a little bit of a project to remodel a little bit over there. Other than that, it went pretty good.
Good as it can.
Good as it can. Good. So.
We need to talk next year, I think, again, about possibly going back on the ballot for a new facility. What we're putting hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars into that old jail. I mean, every time we've turned around, it's 50,000 here, it's another 100 there. And we need to talk about, again, about telling the taxpayers of this county what they're spending by not building something appropriate. And all the money we're spending putting our prisoners out in facilities all over southeast Nebraska, you know, because we don't have room, we don't have the capacity to keep them. And we need, as good representatives of the taxpayer of this district, to talk about this again and think about making some other decisions.
Or other options. I think it's important that we do talk about that, but potential for complete outsourcing or temporary holding and whatever is going to be the most economical for the taxpayer versus having a giant facility. It may be cheaper, it may not be, but I think that is probably something we need to keep talking about or start really talking about. I wouldn't be upset if everybody was outsourced and we can make use of that new van cell that Gus's guys are putting together.
No, very good. But we will try and pick up on that in the next year. Road and Bridge.
Terry?
What?
Oh, we have a... Oh,
yeah,
I'm
going to wait with you. Too long.
You got to wait.
I didn't look at my... We have Veterans Honor.
See, I used to always interrupt him, too. I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah. I was ready to go.
It is 9:01 on the clock, and we have a timed event, Veterans Honor. Bill?
You get a little break to work on your presentation.
This month we got a special deal. We got two veterans we're going to be recognizing because last month we had some issues with some health issues, I think. So this month we have Donald Burke, who served in the United States Army. He joined in March of 1941 and served until October of 1945. He was a military policeman, and he served in northern France, central Europe, Rhineland, Ardennes, received the European Service Medal with four Bronze Stars and the American Defense Service Ribbon. And this time, I'd like to present Donald Burke.
Make it today?
Oh, Donald didn't make it today.
I'm not here yet?
No, he didn't. You know, he was ill.
The other time he wasn't able to be here either, and we haven't heard. We put him on the agenda, and we haven't heard back from him. So hopefully here maybe he's just a few minutes late.
Yeah, he might be a little late because we haven't heard anything from the family.
I talked to Shirley, and she hadn't heard anything yet.
Yeah, and this morning even we hadn't heard anything. So
So we're hoping he shows up yet, and if we do, we'll just break in and do that unless we're in a public hearing or whatever. So if he does show up, and we've been kind of holding that here, and they've been visiting back and forth, and we thought maybe he was going to be here, and hopefully he will be yet.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we hadn't heard anything different.
Go ahead. You have another one, though.
I have another one today. Yes. And this one's just a little bit more difficult because Mr. Albritton, you know, he just, James Albritton is who we're going to be recognizing, and he retired from the Army and Air Force as a warrant officer. He's inducted into the United States Army Air Corps in January of 1943, then he served to 1946, first enlistment, and then he moved on. He served World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, finally retiring in September of 1979 with 29 years of service to our country. 23 years of that was active duty. 6 years and 4 months was reserve time. He received the World War II Victory Medal, Good Conduct Medal, third award, Bronze Star Medal with one oak leaf cluster, Vietnam Cross of Gallantry with palm, Army Occupation Medal, Vietnam Service Medal, American Campaign Medal, 5 Overseas Bars, Armed Forces Reserve Medal, National Defense Service Medal with oak leaf clusters, European Theater of Operations, Republic of Vietnam Campaign Medal with the 60 device, and the Army Campaign Medal. And I'm sure there's probably some I've missed looking through all of James' stuff. But if James, if you would like to come up and have anything to say, James, come on up.
He's got the right there. By
The mic over there if he wants to. Yeah.
And you got anything you want to say, James, about your service?
I'll say I served. I'd rather serve our country, fight for it, and I still do. But last 5 years has been a rough time for me. I had a stroke, broke a hip, and all this. I served in Vietnam. I contacted prostate cancer, and I'm 70% disability on that. Otherwise, I'm healthy. Glad to serve the service.
Well,
bless James, you, Jim.
Bless you. Yes, James, we want to thank you very, very much for your service to our country. And the county has another small token of appreciation for you. But really amazing the amount of time you spent in the service. And we want to thank you as a county board and as a county. We want to thank you very, very much.
Mr. Albritton, on behalf of the county, I'd like to have this certificate and this token, small token of appreciation for serving as you've done so far. So thank you very much.
Like all three of them.
That's what I was thinking. Talk about hitting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we've had that many in the county probably been affected by all three of the wars, or, you know.
Well, not very many.
And veteran, I mean, in Vietnam and Korea, to have all three of them, to serve in all three of them.
Incredible.
That's incredible.
It's always amazing. You see these, and I've met Mr. Albritton before. They don't talk about these things. You don't know the things that they've done until we do things like this. And it's just amazing when you find out that that gentleman spent a lifetime serving the country. It's amazing.
Yes.
To go through all that and then prostate cancer, and other than that, I'm still healthy.
Yep. 5 bronze stars, not 1. 5. This is absolutely incredible. What a guy.
Now, Terry.
Okay. During our discussion, we talked about the rock and gravel bids. We'll talk about that later on in the meeting and approve those recommendations from Galen. The grading crew's been working up by DeWitt area. Asphalt crew working in the Claytonia area. Bridge crew's been working with FEMA. Of course, everybody knows they had quite a bit of bridge damage during the flood, so that's kind of an ongoing thing. Adams Northwest Project. Maybe Matt should talk about this one.
Yeah, I'll reiterate what I said.
Okay, go ahead.
I think it's ridiculous that the state stepped in and found jobs for people. We took over 3 bridges with the help of the work of the prior highway superintendent, the work that Galen's done, the people in his office. We've got Barnston done, NYMore done, and the Philly North Bridge done, because we took those on, and they were trying to pull those bridges from us. So then the state comes in and decides in their infinite wisdom that they're going to take that bridge over. We were a frog's hair away from getting that thing done, and now they're going to back this thing up to 2017, 2018, and they're mired themselves down in the mud again. So we've proved, in the instance of saving money, local does it better. We would have probably been moving dirt on that thing. We'd have been pushing to get that bridge done. We've shown we can do it better and faster. And the state took it over, and God bless them in their infinite wisdom. I don't know when that's going to get done, because now we're pushed back again. So it was a program that they took over that just didn't make a whole lot of sense to us. We were already on the downhill slide on that project. Galen, his office, and those folks and a consulting engineer had basically done all the work, and then they jump in and screw it up, quite frankly. So we've shown we can get it done, and we can do it pretty cheap, and we can improve our own infrastructure. We didn't need them. It slowed it down.
Now we have damage and dollars that are going to go to repairing a bridge that's going to get removed.
And that's the issue. There's damage on that bridge, too. Through the flooding time, and something has to be corrected. You know, as we was assuming it could be a Band-Aid fix to get us to when the bridge was tore out anyway. Well, now Galen gets this information that this thing is going to be delayed 2 or 3 years from where we anticipated, and it's just extra cost, and makes no sense to me either, Matt. I don't understand, but that's what we got.
Would it be worthwhile to arrange a meeting, Terry, that you and Galen would talk to representatives in the Department of Roads, or you'd go up there and invite them down and say, hey, let's look at this again?
that might be a possibility. I don't know, Galen.
I think it would be. You can't lose a thing.
Yeah.
You can't waste any conversation you have in building that relationship.
They could physically look at the thing and say, here's our problems, you know.
But we push back on that program.
Get a hold of Senator Baker and have him sit down with you in the Department of Roads and see if you can make a change, and I'll bet you can.
Especially since now that with the flooding this spring, there's issues come up with that bridge, and Galen's going to have FEMA now go out and look at it, or maybe have. I don't know. I think they're going to come out. You're going to bring them down to look at it because there's some issues with that flooding and the bank stabilization, the bridge and the bank stabilization that there may need to do a fair amount of work on that that somebody's going to end up paying for, and then in a year or two take it all out anyway to put a new bridge in. That's maybe something that really it should steady before we do all of that or whatever. So, no, I think that's a good idea.
Let's be aggressive. Meet with
Departments of Roads and try meeting with Senator Baker, have him at the meeting and everything.
Absolutely.
And let's see what we can accomplish, maybe.
That's on that, didn't he? On fixing that or stabilizing it?
No, on this one. There's one up by Claytonia that he
had.
That was on the head wall or the abutment?
The abutment, yes.
Yeah. Matt.
Who operates as our responsible charge now on our programs?
Right now I'm responsible charge, but since they pulled it last year, Billy was done, basically, the RC program was done, and they didn't, the RC update training they done this spring, I didn't have to attend that because they said it was over. So right now, at the finish of Billy, I'll no longer be an RC.
And the RC program was a local program that you could do to watch your own projects to get them done. And then now who operates as the responsible charge?
It'll be somebody from the state.
From Fairbury, probably?
You're an
attorney.
Because on the 41 road, that's a guy out of Fairbury. That's the head guy. I mean,
that's our area.
That's our area guy.
Fairbury, I think.
Yeah.
Even though we've got a yard in Beatrice.
Yeah.
That's type of yard.
That was in the paper. It was listed as the guy out of Fairbury was, and I can't remember the name, but that was who was in charge of that 41 project that they're doing right now.
That's because Fairbury is a construction yard.
If people would leave us alone, we could get a lot done.
It's a term I like, leave us alone.
Okay.
Matt, did you have anything to say relative to
that? Terry?
Had discussion on allocations on rock and gravel, and Galen did call rock on. They were hauling with 3 to 4 trucks, which I thought was what I had was told, but the supplier has been off and on, and so they're back down to 2 trucking pups a day, is what Galen told me this morning. So maybe that'll get cranking up again, you know, but it's kind of always something that's...
I'll comment on that.
Right.
I think we need to... I really think we need to go with the next company and haul with more trucks, because even with 3 or 4 trucks, we'll struggle to get the spring allotment done this fall. Mm-hmm. So we're that far behind. And I think we need to go out and start doing whatever it is for the townships so that we get... that a lot. If we can't get the spring allotment hauled yet this fall, I mean, I look at it, it falls back on this board that we're not doing the things necessary to get some of this stuff done.
In to try and defend it, you know, because of the weather we had this spring, trucks and trucking
was hard
to get. I mean, everybody's busy. It's that type of time of year. But no, I agree with you 100%. We got to sometime get caught up on this
thing. We're gonna be into the winter, and we're not going to be much. With 2 trucks, we won't be much more than half done with the spring allotment by the time winter sets in.
Rock On was trying. As there was gravel there, they were moving it.
I'm not faulting them.
No, they had four trucks on, the most they've had for a long time. They had 4 trucks dedicated to it, but they could not get the material.
Of the pile pit.
Yeah. No, out of the...
Ace pit. No, I'm not faulting them, or it's a situation of everything. It's just not fitting into what we're trying to do.
I know.
But at the same time, if we don't give the okay to go ahead and do what we need to get the next hauler or the next pit going, we're going to get a lot more phone calls this winter.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a problem that was exacerbated this year because of the weather, but it's been a developing problem as far as gravel being becoming more limited. And I agree, it's time to catch up. And
so, Galen, see what you need to do. I mean, or let us know, or visit, or by committee meeting, next committee meeting, maybe have an idea of a, some thoughts of what we can do so that
should
we can get that.
Should we send a memo out to the township chairs letting them know what we're running into relative to the lack of materials? Do you think that just that relationship of letting them know where we're at in the form of a written piece, I think, would be very good in letting them know we're trying. We're trying really hard to get the material.
Formally, that's probably a good idea, Denny, but I know I've talked to several of them, and they're all aware of it, but I think formally you're right. That's probably something that should be done. I agree.
Is that something that the office can do down there, Galen? Okay. Send them in.
Remember our last township meeting when we met with them? Well, he didn't let us know, and we didn't, And so let's make sure that
I'm like Gary. I believe most of them are kind of aware of it or understand it, but at the same time, they get calls from their constituents, too, when the roads, it rains or something, and we go into winter and all this. We have some issues because of the weather this year. It compounded it. It really compounded it, and we've struggled. I know the county we went ahead and approved $230,000-$240,000 to go ahead and do some additional hauling to get that done for the county so that we're ready for the winter. But I think we also need to be proactive on the townships.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Myron, would it be wise just to, you got the bids for the second place bids, just clear Galen to go ahead and get to work on it, as opposed to coming back in 2 weeks and talking about it again? Or I don't know what you guys' thought is.
I don't know if the second bidder can be ready by that time. He's still hauling the county gravel yet.
Right, but
so, I know what you're
saying. What I'm saying is if we wait 2 more weeks and then we start working from there, then you're
that much farther behind. Go ahead and do what you need to do, Galen, to start hauling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if the second bidder can't do it, we'll just go to the third.
Yep. Absolutely.
I'm just giving you grief.
Speaking of other bidders, though, either of you talk to the fellow from Grant Township?
Niemeyer and
John Niemeyer.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
And Vern.
What did he say? Did he think he'd?
He'll be talking about that when we approve
the
gravel bids.
The gravel bids. Okay.
Yeah, we talked about that this morning. So. Okay. The only other thing is Galen gave everybody a handout from Hall Brothers. It was about an Onyx overlay on the armor coating. And they had a project. It looked, I don't know the picture's with me, but it was kind of a rubbery substance that they mixed in there now, and it looked to me like it would be a good seal. Galen, maybe do some investigating before we have this, because it basically, they did some work in Kansas, and it's Hall Brothers out of Marysville, and they sent this material up to us. Just for looking about armor coating, approximately the cost on this material is $16,000 to $18,000 a mile. I mean, put on $16,000 to $18,000 a mile. So the other regular material we used to lay on the gravel part was projected about $15,000 a mile for this year, I remember. So it's something that we will look at, for the future, see what. Galen's going to check a little bit around, see people that he's been given places that have used it, and he'll double check with the people, just see what they thought about it, and it's just something to look at. And last but not least, I want to bring this up. I've got Galen and I work together fairly close, and I see the amount of work that he does down there daily. He puts in way more hours than he's, what he would have to do. He's there daily at 6 o'clock in the morning, gets everybody rolling, and the amount of phone calls he gets daily is astronomical. So I just want to say a thank. I mean, we've got a really, really good superintendent, and I just want to say thanks to him because he does an excellent, excellent job. So that's it.
Thank
you. Yep.
I think we'll all echo that, Galen. So thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Hear, hear.
Got one more quick thing here then. We the board here from Jim Barr, we got a thank you. Down at the Brunsbach Cemetery, John.
Right.
Down there by Evangel Lutheran Cemetery, in the south east part of the county down there.
Yep.
They've basically redone all the fence.
Right.
The county picked up a little bit of the cost for material. John went and got the material and has been working with them down there. Jim Barr and his boy, and then
boys.
A couple other people have basically did all the labor and all the work to put that fence in down there, and some of them actually contributed some material also.
Right.
And we got a thank you here. They wanted to thank John, but they also wanted to thank the board and everybody for helping out with that. That project is done down there now. John, maybe you'd like to talk a little bit about it.
Well, the Barrs contributed as much material as what the county provided, plus they did all the work, Jim and his two sons, and it looks nice.
Looks nice, and no, it we really appreciate when a group or some individuals take charge and want to do something like this to keep some of these cemeteries up and keep them in, because there are several more cemeteries around the county that, you know, the county's kind of responsible for. We paid some organizations to mow and everything, but we're really thankful when some of these people step up and really go to bat and help keep the cemeteries in good shape.
I'm tickled pink that you know how to dig a post hole. Now I know who's calling. That's a lost art.
I need to dig a post hole. The bars.
It didn't say nothing in here about John doing physical.
I said he was helping. I thought, boy, that's good to know.
The definition, he's a supervisor.
Yeah, oh, just supervisor.
So, but no, I just wanted to, it was kind of nice of them to send a thank you, but we also do appreciate the work very much that they did do.
Right.
So. Not quite 9:30 yet. 9:30. Anything else on Roan Bridge? I guess.
No, I think unless you guys have something. Or.
Thanks for getting that patched up there on the ethanol road. I've heard about that already. Got three patches in there, I think.
Yeah,
three little spots. So that's great. And then I had some questions. I know it's not county, but Highway 41 there. Is that a mill only, or is that a mill and overlay that's going to? That's going on right now.
Reading the paper, it's a mill and then an inch overlay.
Okay, it isn't. That's what I thought looking at the way they were cutting it, but somebody told me it was a mill only and that was the way it was going to stay.
And I don't know, maybe Galen knows more. I haven't heard any more other than several people. I read the article in the paper, and then there's been several other people too read that it's supposed to be a mill and then an inch overlay.
Is it that porous overlay again, or is that going to be that tight?
I don't know.
Like super
paper. I don't know either. Pavers is doing it. They're, you know, they started Monday morning milling, and by Friday night, they have a good chance of having the whole thing milled.
On the west end, I came back from Wilbur this weekend, and it's through Wilbur, Claytonia, all the way over, and it's all new overlay. There's, I don't know what the depth of it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
They overlaid that.
You know, to continue on like that, this week starting down from 112 on Highway 8 to 77, the state is milling and overlaying that road. It needed it. It was in bad condition. So that's going on right down in that end of the county. The state's repairing that road. One other thing, I think I spoke to Matt and John. I had a phone call and a personal visit from township over here. We talked about
Midland.
Midland Township, Larry Groenewald, and that TP Road, or the one I think everybody knows we're talking about, that with the erosion that came with the flooding, they have a landowner that wants that road be rebuilt, and I think the cost I've heard was 18 to 20,000, and there has to be some work done in the river stream itself to kind of deflect the water back, I think is what I was told. Anyway, it's just it's going to be a big, I think there's some FEMA money that's available for this project, but it's going to be a, I mean, every, this road is under constant disrepair. Not much we can do about it because there's a landowner in the back end, you know, and it's a township road anyway, but there's a landowner in the back end that wants that road graded up again. So, they'll have to do something with it, but it just don't make a lot of sense to spend $20,000 every 5 years regrading this road and rebuilding the thing.
And
every
if you
year.
Haven't seen it for 80 yards to 100 yards, road's gone.
Yeah,
road
is
gone.
That 18 to 20 too. I met with him too. That's minimal.
Yeah.
That's minimal maintenance. You can get back there. That's not repairing the road. Mm-hmm. That's just getting it to where it's.
Mm-hmm.
Drivable again. Right now, as soon as the tracks are crossed, there's a complete washout down to some RCP. So I mean, it's a hazard.
It won't make any difference. But Larry encouraged me to have the supervisors go down there and take a look and see what is actually going on down there.
Yeah, I did talk with Larry. He called, okay. And we're looking at some different options.
Yeah.
Working with the landowner, and I think Galen at last meeting somebody said the barricades might have been down or something. But I told Larry make sure because it is a township road. We don't want anybody getting hurt down there, so he was going to check and make sure those are up again.
But, you have barricades over there. Somebody keeps each time I've gone down there. The barricades are moved from blocking off. You have those probably 20 yards from the track. Somebody keeps taking those off and setting them in the grass. And the one time I was down there, there was a Cadillac down in the ditch. That must have been one heck of a ride.
But that tube is in the railroad right-of-way, correct? So we can't even fix that, even if we did the road. Isn't that on the south end of that track? Isn't that in there right-of-way?
According to the right-of-way, first I spoke with the railroad, he told me they're only responsible or 4 foot out from the end of that ties. Even though that tube is in there right away, he said that wasn't their responsibility. That's what I was told.
And they've come through and fixed stuff. There were washouts under the track. 20-some washouts? Or
there was a lot of them.
They've come through and re-rocked all that, and they left everything. They've gone by. I think they've done what they're going to do. And
that it's not a 24-hour residence. There's no commerce going on back there. It's a hunting preserve. So it's not like there's kids going to school or people that can't get home at night.
I've never talked to that owner at that hunting or the teepee house. I've talked to the adjacent owner each time. He started doing some work there again, but I think there's other access. It's that far back property that...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Roger's looking in to see what options are available for the county or for the township, as far as
I mean, I know the township's got some ideas, and I told them that you know they probably need to talk with Mr. Crothers, and we'll work together on it if there's other access available. But
they
again,
seemed really enthused to fix that road when I talked to Larry.
No. Well, it's just like you said there. I mean, you spend $20,000 every 5 years. Didn't make a lot of sense, and they got some money now. I think the thought is we can put that money to better use to help resolve the problem and not have a road that washes out that often.
And have a permanent, more of a permanent solution.
Yeah.
So I think we'll wait to hear back from you and see how you and Andy and the township have some conversation on that, and we'll see where we go with that. So.
That's where I didn't want them to think when I talked to Larry that $20,000 isn't a permanent fix. That was a Band-Aid at best. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole tree line that's gone now.
I think that road, every time there's a flood of the Blue River, there has a great possibility of having an issue with that road. So that's why they're talking about always ongoing.
This one was the worst I'd seen, though. I mean, there's literally, there was a tree line on each side of that road. The one side's gone completely. So, I mean, I can only imagine what's going to happen next time without the roots holding everything together.
Okay. We do have a timed event at 9:30. It's 9:30 on the clock. Entertain a motion to open a public hearing for the purpose of hearing support, opposition, criticism, suggestions, or observations of taxpayers related to the following proposed fiscal year 15-16 county budget.
All right. I would move to open the public hearing.
Second.
A motion by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Vote 7-0. Public hearing. So, comments from the public now. Lennart, if you'd like to, or
me,
or glad to hear from you again before you go to Arizona for the winter. So it's a good thing you're here.
Quit going. Get
quit going.
Past middle age, time to stay a little closer.
So you're
Lennart Fritz. Lennart Fritz, 29813 South 120th Road. Getting back to the gravel deal in the township board. Well, I was on the board for 22 years, finally got off, you know. And it's hard to get replacements. But it isn't the township board, they're aware of it. It's the public that come to you. They want it on their road now and then, and they ain't informed. So I don't know, how would you inform them? Put it in the paper or something?
The press is our best friend there, I can tell you that. Without a doubt, that's our best friend, just because...
Here we go.
Getting the news out there, and we appreciate what you guys do, too, for us. So, I mean, it's
yeah.
I don't know how else... Although, anymore today, some of these on Facebook, you wonder sometimes what all is out there, too. But
yeah, and then on that... That's pretty new, what they're going to use for armor coating. That armor coating, you know, is pretty important. And would any of that flake, is that heavier? I mean, are you checking into that kind of?
Well, there's two different types of material we've not looked at yet because we haven't approved.
Oh.
But there was one that the state has used, and I talked about it. It was a crushed, dried limestone. And that looked like a really good product they used on 112. It sealed up nice and looked like it really raised the, there's a lot of material left on the road compared to the gravel part. You always, a lot of it gets broomed off or flies away. We don't know the cost on that. And this other type of armor coating, we don't know how it stands up. Something new, I think. And so before that time comes, maybe Galen or I can take a look at some roads that were done and how long they've been laid down and see. But
you're going to go ahead and armor coat with the others then? It's
not necessarily.
Yet.
I mean, that isn't set in stone, you know.
Okay.
We haven't decided that yet.
So, Lennart, you're here to ask for more money for the county roads?
Wait till I get to that.
Okay.
Well, one thing, Patty's here, and I'd like to bring up to have a change on the tax statements. When we get the tax statements every year, like on the land, you know, all there's on there is what you're going to pay tax on. You really don't know what percentage there is. I'd like to see the total valuation, then the taxation valuation, and then a percentage, so we would know what percentage. It could be 69, it could be 79. I mean, couldn't that be printed on them deals?
Tax statements come out, I mean, they're programmed in across the state, like Lori's thing is NIPS. What we do publish in the paper...
Patty, oh, sorry. The mic. Thank you. Thank you for coming back, Patty.
Yeah.
Okay, basically what happens when we settle all the valuations and the valuations have been mailed out, then in the state, or in the paper, and then on the radio, I send a percentage to what the ag land values are, what the residential, what the commercial is. So that is published in the paper. Now, everybody gets hung up on that number, and I understand that. That is a median level of value. Your property, even though we have ag land at 72%, your property might be at
98%.
I'm just saying. Okay. We get so hung up on that number, and that number is a median level of value based on a whole bunch of sales. If you had an appraisal done on your farm, on your home, you know, we have to hit a range, and that's the range that we have to hit on residential, we have to hit it on commercial, and we have to hit it on ag. So what happens then is I do, when the Turk says to, okay, Gage County, you're in the range, Your Aglen was at 72, I think, residential. I don't have it in my head, 97, 96. And then commercials were at 100 this year. So that is printed in the paper. Now, we don't print it on, like, Lori's tax statement, because Lori sends out the tax statement, and I don't know, there's only room for, she does list the tax rates out on there so you can see what part of your tax dollars is going to schools.
Yeah.
And what part. But my valuation, there's only so much that tax statement can probably hold, and so you do have it in the newspaper, and by all means, you can always get it from my office. So, but they're not printed on tax statements.
Yeah. I'd like to see the total valuation of the farm printed on there.
Well, it is on your valuation notice that comes out.
I mean, the only thing that's on there is what you get taxed on. Then you look at that, oh, the valuation, is that for my land? You know.
Okay, what you need to do then every year is come in and get your total property record card so we can go over what every building's valued at, what your house is valued at, what your acres are valued at. That's what... Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, that's going to give you a whole breakdown of what everything looks like. So, I mean, and I think that's more beneficial, and then sit down with me and talk so I can help you through understanding everything. I mean, that's the best thing. Because, you know, so many people say, well, this and this and this, and lots of times they don't have it accurate. You know, the best thing is come to me, let me pull your record card, come into my office, and we'll just go over everything.
Got a good headache going there in the assessor's office every year, and I can see that. I mean,
I have a way.
Good headache going every year.
Headache.
But
yeah, I picked a doozy of a job, didn't I?
Okay,
no,
okay.
I like it.
Okay,
so.
Thanks a lot, Patty. Okay, I'm a little confused here, maybe on some figures on the budget here. Going back to 2013-14, here you had 18 million, I won't read the other figures, plus, that's actual disbursements. And then on 14-15, you got 20 million, and I won't read the others. Now for 15-16, you got 27 million. Where's that extra disbursement coming in at?
That's the publication.
Yeah, the disbursements that come in, those show sometimes in the budget things are, what do I want to say, double counted, because if something comes out of the general fund to fund another fund, that'll show that that's going out. There are some dollars that are not spent years before that are rolled in into the operational needs for the county so that we don't ask as much for the next year. I haven't seen that official one yet that's been out there, other than it was published in the paper. But every year is, you know, like this year, we're looking at the expenditures of about $84,000 more than last year.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's kind of when you look at it.
That's got the bond number in it, too.
That includes the bond. Would you like to see this?
Yeah. She's got the one there.
You got it, haven't you?
I need it in about 20 font anymore. I can't see the...
I mean... It jumps up so much, and what you're going to disperse,
look at the general fund there. We can step through this. The general fund, 13-14, was $10 million, and then you'll see that dropped off there.
Actual disbursements last year was 29,
right.
And now it's 27. So it's actually going down what we requested for disbursements.
General is $12 million, right, proposed.
Right, and there's disbursements that are down, but if you also look at some of those are use of funds, so there's inheritance fund that's on those, so the disbursements show sinking funds that are dollars that have already been collected that have been moved into a fund. That's not all tax dollars or general fund dollars or general levy asking for this year.
Okay.
Those are funds that may have been built up, and if you go to 14-15, you'll see 2.3 million there, and so that would be the proposed expenditure. And so every year in some of the funds we put 100% proposed expenditure, just in case something really bad would happen. We show,
yeah,
say if there's $3 million out there, we're going to show that we're going to give ourselves the ability of spending $3 million. But go back to the 13-14 year, the actual disbursements, for instance, in inheritance fund was $849,000. So the difference between what we're planning to do and what we actually do from year to year, you know, we plan to do this because we want to show full expenditure of the budget, but often we end up way down here, which is what that would be illustrating here, going from year to year.
For the inheritance fund and the sinking funds, Don shows that always as the possibility of a full expenditure. For our budget purposes, we need to show that. Otherwise, if we didn't show any of it and something came up during the year and we had to spend that, we couldn't do that.
Back okay. Here too.
So we don't spend all of it out of the sinking fund, the road and bridge sinking fund, or the inheritance fund. We don't spend all of that, but we show in our budget that that is going to be spent, even though we don't spend it for the year. Because
okay.
At budget time, we have to appropriate that as a possible expenditure.
And that's just one example. So, like for this year, which is now I'm finding why Don's giving me this, we're proposing to spend almost $30 million in disbursements.
No, that's last.
That was last year.
That
we were proposing to spend that. What we actually spent was $20 million.
Yeah.
And you don't have this one in front of you. You have this one. So,
oh, yeah.
We plan sometimes to do this, but we only do this because if for some reason the wheels were to fall off something, we want to make sure that we have full use of those sinking funds that are out there. We didn't spend, Galen didn't spend this year
$700,000
in his budget. So that'll show up again this year, and he'll say, gosh, you only spent that much this year. Well, it's not because we weren't planning to spend it. It's that we went from an improvement new and improved process to basically repairing what the water washed out. So there are a lot of those projects that we just never got done, and so we weren't able to show those as expenditures. But you're right. When you look on the planned expenditures versus what you actually do, there's a difference. And you say, well, why didn't you get that done this year? We would have spent more money this year if the weather probably would have been better because we had a lot of projects out there that we just...
That's why the $5 million carryover there.
Right. And then, well, I shouldn't say right
like
so
that,
fast,
but,
I think that what you're illustrating is that what we plan to expend versus what we actually spend are different. The other thing we run into is when we put the budget, we do this every year, July 1 is our new fiscal year. Well, our construction season splits that. So sometimes we're not able to get things done that we plan to get done, and they may just show up in the next fiscal year.
I see. Okay.
But you're right in being discerning.
You know, when you look at it as patron.
I think it's worthwhile to look from year to year, not at the proposed, but the actual disbursements, and then we can discern there what did you actually get done from year to year. And, for instance, if you're paying a bond, when that bond drops off, people will say, well, gosh, you spent if you had $1 million payback, people might say, gosh, you spent $1 million less last year. You did a good job. Well, we probably didn't. We just got done paying off that bond. But that's why I focus so heavy on the tax asking from year to year. How much additional funds are we taxing? Because that gets away from this math about the levy and the valuation. How much money are we taking from the taxpayer each year?
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily illustrated in a percentage so much here, which is a public document, but Don does a really good job of creating a spreadsheet. And I wish this was on our website because I think this tells a partial story and illustrates much better the percentage increases and where the tax dollars are coming from. But I think this is a good exercise to go through this discussion because you're right. When you see that dollar amount and say, well, my gosh, you guys, you look like you're proposing to spend a heck of a lot more money this year. One is actual expenditures and one is planned.
I thought maybe Gus was going to have a big county party here that I'd be invited with the extra dollars.
I'm sure you'll invite him.
He'll be invited. But Len Hart, there should be 50 people like you in here having these conversations
yes.
so that people can understand this. So I think it's excellent that you hear that.
Well, I mean, you know, it caught my eye. I looked over it and I said,
absolutely.
Are they going to have that much sinking fund extra?
Most of that does actually go to the Sheriff's Department, though.
Well, I'm coming to that next.
And Len Hart, if you leave here and you think, you know what, that didn't quite sound right, or I need to call me.
I'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate it because you can see where it come in when I went over the thing. A lot of people don't even look at this, as far as that.
Well, quite frankly, Don prepares that. I'll tell you, I look at this.
Yeah.
Because this can get as you go through this. It's like I had Don that had to get over my shoulder and explain that to me. So. And why you don't print that in 20 fonts, I don't know. Why has everything got to be 7 and 8 fonts? Okay. Sorry, Lenhart.
Yeah. Okie doke. The next thing on the agenda is I'm working on Gus. Seems like the budget is too high for that. Can we lower that a little bit, or what? Where's all the extra come in at? Is it on account of the?
Gus, if you want to, you can sit over there too. Yeah.
Thank you.
Lenhart, this year a lot of it, some of it was on some wages. We had to adjust some wages for non-union people. They were way down from where they should be on comparable counties. We compared to about, I think, 9 or 11 of them, to the point where we were several dollars per hour under where they should have been for medium range. It's not even the top side.
Okay.
So that's what was driving a lot of that. I'd initially put in there for some in-car video systems. We quit doing those about 2 years ago. They were just kind of getting old and outdated. So I tried going back and not having them, so the officer's word would mean something in court. Obviously, in the last 2 years, you know, Ferguson, Missouri, and everywhere else, things have changed to where if it isn't recorded, it doesn't mean anything, apparently. So that was in there. Although a lot of things requested didn't get put in, some things did, and for that, I appreciate that from the board side. They understood some issues there. But a lot of things drive that. There are no cars in there. We did no cars. We're going with old ones we still have. We're fixing up two or three old ones and moving on. So it's just doing cost of business and things get more expensive. Fuel, tires, you know, oil changes.
The equipment replacement.
The equipment replacement, you get turnover. Yeah. Yeah, things wear out after a while, or you have a car now, you have a 2007 car, and so you get rid of that one and you get to a 2012. If something's a little different in the car, then the equipment we have won't mount and fit, so you start that all over again. So it's just part of doing business, a lot of it is.
Can you keep the deputies off the road a little bit so we don't have to armor coat so much?
Well, actually, I'm trying to look to get them on the road. Now, we're getting a tremendous amount of complaints because of construction going on in the area now, probably more than I've ever seen. So I talked about that earlier. It's going to be an issue. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I like to work on Gus.
Everybody does.
Thanks a lot, Gus.
You bet, Leonard.
Okay, and then another thing is the security. Where's that thing is sitting? Are you going to have a walkthrough? Is that still in the option here or what? That you got kind of like the airports? Is that what you're proposing or what?
No, the county board has voted that down here within the last, I don't know, six,
okay,
8 months ago. So right now there's nothing in the proposal at all for a walkthrough on the first floor. We still do have a security
checkpoint
up on the third floor at the court.
That's a must.
The floor of the courts are on, so if you do... Apparently, you haven't had to go to court lately, because if you did, you'd be up there and you'd get
Gus
to walk through that.
Me.
So, yeah.
But anyhow...
That's the only place right now that we have a security system is that is manned, is up on the third floor, and that's a walk-through checkpoint.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know I couldn't get through it, and if you got to take your shoes off every time, and maybe you might have a vice grip in your pocket or what have you, and to come in and pay your taxes and then get kicked aside, that don't go very good. Well, I just thanks a lot here. And
thank you, Leonard. Like Matt said, you brought up some very good questions there, and we're really thankful that you came and were part of our public comment. We appreciate that.
Well, it just stood out there.
Yep.
Too much to suit me, and then I said, well, I think I'll come today.
Well, and maybe that's something, Don, we should look at is to...
Well, that's fine.
Maybe put the
this
previous...
This is the form the state,
okay,
the
so
auditors...
But I would, I won't be able to speak to borrow somebody else's. You can have this.
Well...
Take that.
Take it.
Well, okay.
Take that. And then if you call me, you've got questions, we can talk about that.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your time.
Sure, email. Yeah, and don't put that on Facebook, though, Lenhart.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I'm giving
you. I do have a tablet.
Or not good.
Anybody else for the public hearing? You ladies are more than welcome to talk about budget if you'd like to know. No, I didn't think so. So, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing at 9:50.
So moved.
A motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. Vote 7-0. I think we'll talk about the budget later. That's on the agenda later. But I believe you, Abby, you're here for tourism report.
Yep, I sure am. And I hope you guys all have copies of my report I sent. Should look like this with bulleted points.
Looks like this.
Should have that somewhere, I'm sure.
It's okay. It's pretty brief, so. And if you guys have questions, please go ahead and stop and ask. So the first page, if you are looking at the report, is just a bulleted list of what I've all been up to in the past 3 months. I think the first time I was introduced to you guys, I had only been here for a week, so it's been pretty busy. I'm part of Young Professionals, which is a new organization in Beatrice. I helped coordinate Homestead Days activities. I attend monthly Southeast Nebraska Travel Council meetings, as well as Heritage Highway 136 meetings. In the process of visiting all of our tourist attractions in Gage County, which is a lot, and it's kind of hard to get to all of them. But so far, I've been to Homestead National Monument of America, the Welsh Heritage Center, the Old West Trail Center, and the Rice Lodge and Conference Center, which are all very fascinating to me. I'm also in the process of attending city/village/town meetings to introduce myself and to let communities know that I am available to assist them with any special events or tourism-related projects. I'm also helping businesses join visitnebraska.com to claim your destination, and I'll talk more about that later. We are also in the planning process of the Solar Eclipse 2017 party. And I'm also attending Kalman Ball meetings. It will actually be in Princeton, Nebraska this year, if you guys are aware of the Kalman's Ball. So really big event and pretty good for Gage County and as well as Lancaster County. There have been bus tours that have come in. And otherwise, I'm just usually giving tours of the Carnegie Building, answering any questions. We do get quite a few people in on a daily basis. So on the second page, going into more detail about Kalman's Ball, it will be held June 3rd and 4th, 2016 at Trevor and Tori Linderman's Ranch, which is just a few miles outside of Princeton, Nebraska, probably about 5 miles away from the Gage-Lancaster border. So it's really, really close. 2 miles? Yep. Yeah. Yep. So it's really close. So it's we're going to be splitting the hospitality between Lancaster, Lincoln Visitor Bureau, and Gage County Tourism. So what I've been doing is booking blocks for hotel rooms and kind of attending the monthly meetings that they're holding to assist in any way that I can. We're also in the process of planning for Trail Treasures 2015, and that's the first weekend in October, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And what that is a collection of garage sales, flea markets all along Highway 136. I believe it's extending from Nemaha to Red Cloud, so it's going to be pretty long. And then our Solar Eclipse 2017, this is actually a huge event. There will be a solar eclipse taking place on August 21st, 2017, which I know seems really far away, but there are communities already planning for it in Nebraska. And Beatrice and Gage County will be one of the best places to view the solar eclipse. We'll be in 100% totality for about 2 minutes and 35 seconds. So it's going to be dark. NASA estimates that 30 to 50,000 people will be in the area to view the solar eclipse from all over the world. So what we're asking is if the county could provide any assistance in advertising and marketing for the event, that would be very, very helpful. Please. And otherwise, tourism in general, our visitor attendance to the area is up in general. Homestead National Monument reports that visitation is up 9%, and currently they are at 52,748 visitors as of January 1st. They are entering another busy season with fall coming up, and it brings more people to the area, they find, as well as schools. They are hosting a lot of schools from Manhattan, Kansas, schools from Omaha. They are hosting the Iowa School for the Deaf and many more. Their guest register shows that in addition to groups, they are having visitors from all over the United States. And the number of visitors for last year was about 70,000, and they are expected to surpass that number this year. Otherwise, parks across the nation are reporting that about a 9% increase in attendance as well, due in part to Find Your Park campaign. Advertising for Gage County is showing results. We placed ads in the College World Series brochure, and we are running ads on Pandora. And if you look at page 4 of your packet, it's doing really well. Pandora said that we have an above average audio listener engagement, which is at 7.7%, and then at 29.8% is our display listener engagement. So they said it's one of the highest ratings that they have for ads on their station, which is really nice to hear, and it's definitely showing too. And let's see. And we also placed an ad on Omaha radio stations. And with the Homestead Quarter launch, it is still bringing in visitors too. And requests for information for visiting Gage County has increased since the release of the new brochure. And since the ads have been running, Homestead National Monument also reports at least 60 visitors as a result in the ad for the College World Series. So. Pretty good there. Claim your destination. I've been assisting tourist attractions, big and small, with claiming their destination. What the Nebraska Tourism Commission has done is that they decided to exclude lodging and smaller tourist attractions from their Nebraska travel guide for this year. But kind of what they did was, if you're on their website, then they'll list you in the guide. So I've been trying really hard before the deadline to get all the attractions up on the website, so they're included. But that deadline was back in August, and so right now I'm just trying really hard to make sure everybody is available on the website, so since it does get over a million views. So questions? Yes.
I am absolutely intrigued with the availability or the potential that NASA thinks we're going to have 30 to 50,000. This is like solar stock. These people are going to show up like Woodstock. And obviously you created it, but the area they talk in I'll tell you, I'm kind of a stinker, but are we really that much of a hot spot to see this? Are we going to see 30 to 50,000 people?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, that's kind of...
I don't know if we're going to see 30,000. I think we have a potential of seeing a strong 10 or more here in Gage County, and it could be larger because we have... I'll come up.
Yes, Lori. Yeah, thank you.
Share that one.
Because Beatrice, there's a line, and I didn't bring the map, but you'll all see a map because that's what we're going to talk about. There is a line that goes from the southern part of the United States all the way to Oregon. And at different parts along that line is the different lengths of how you're going to see darkness. We fall in one of those larger bands of darkness. It's going to be dark in Lincoln only for about a minute. Okay? We get it for 2 minutes and 35 seconds. The longest amount of darkness is 2 minutes and 47 seconds. That's in Kentucky, I think, or south somewhere. So 2 minutes and 35 seconds is a very long time for totality. We've already had a gentleman come into our office from Des Moines, and he's looking. He said, I can probably bring 5 or more buses just from the Des Moines area. I'm out early scouting for the best place to see the eclipse. So he's here. And USA Today wanted us to advertise already. Well, I didn't have the money to do USA Today already. So we're going to be looking at that. People are already planning on traveling from Europe and the rest of the world to come see this eclipse.
I admit a level of naivety. This is intriguing. Yeah. I'm not.
This is, yes. Yeah, it's. And so we've talked about how can we make our watch party longer and more unique. And we're looking at bringing in a Native American twist and festival. This is on a Monday. Monday at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon is when this is going to hit.
Okay.
So for the weekend, we're talking about bringing in Native Americans and having a festival, a lot of events around that culture to bring more interest here. So I've already talked to Gus a little bit, and I'm already talking to the city, because we're going to have to put things in place. If we increase Gage County by, let's say, 15,000 people over that weekend or on one day, we're going to have emergency management on board. We're going to have extra food vendors in town. We're going to have extra, I'm talking to the hospital, because watching an eclipse, if you don't watch it correctly, can be really hazardous to your eyes. So
invest in sunglasses.
No, you have to invest in the right kind of glasses.
You know, I just think of the impact that 1,000 workers for Coke makes the impact over a period of time. That's, I guess I'm quantifying this in my own
Correct.
Mind.
It's going to be huge.
Ten times that many people.
And if we can,
probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then head out on.
Probably, yeah, exactly.
Yes, I suppose at Monday at 3 minutes after this, they're probably been gone. Party's over, right?
Are you anticipating people coming like Friday, or do they show up Sunday and then they leave?
I'm anticipating people coming for the weekend, especially those that are really into the whole science aspect, the whole, this is a cool, unique thing. The last time that Gage County or part of this part of Nebraska was covered by a total solar eclipse was in the year 310.
Yeah.
The next time it's going to happen here is 2477.
Which we might not be here.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to hope and pray that it's great weather that day. It's 2 years away. Mm. But it's, you know, this stripe through Nebraska. Mm. It goes all the way through Nebraska. It kind of starts. It doesn't even hit Nebraska City, I don't believe. I know it goes through Alliance because I checked that out because that's where home is.
It goes through North Platte.
It goes through North Platte. But North Platte's only going to have totality for a minute.
So, and I don't know where you're at on this, but so what happens if it's an overcast day?
It won't be an overcast day.
It'll be dark.
Can't talk like that.
Well, I mean,
it'll go from gray to black.
Yeah.
To gray.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
you just won't see the moon pass over the sun.
But people are going to flock. People that are really into the astronomers, the amateurs, the professionals are going to flood to the places where they can have the most totality. That's what
they
want.
The longest.
The longest. The longest. And it's going to be 100% covered here. 100%, which is really rare.
Can we work with our schools to see if we can have the orange our football field, if we can have that open for people, or down in the old football field, down at Athletic Park, where we have areas that people, where there's thousands of people, and work with the Homestead, work with all our tourist attractions.
Yep.
So we have things for people to do and keep them here for 2 or 3 days.
Right, and that's the plan.
That shuts the highways off. Yeah.
But it's gonna cost more money than we have in our budgets right now. Okay. We're working with Homestead, obviously. Southeast Community College wants to be a spot, a watch spot. We're looking at the ground below the football field to have a watch spot in town. But people that are
below which football field, the new one or the old one?
The old one.
Okay.
Okay. You know, I'm sure that the schools will do something. They're going to be invited to be part of the committee. You know, I've already asked Gus if he'll start coming to the meeting, because people that you know, have their head in the sand, that aren't know that it's going to happen, when it starts happening, are going to pull over. I mean, are going to pull over on the roads, you know. And so there has to be a lot of coordination and a lot of work. So,
well, working with our committee that's been working to bring everybody together to plan and then to do some projections on costs. And where can we go to find appropriate financing?
Right.
To get everything done. But we need to know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what's going to cost.
Absolutely. That's why we're starting to meet and plan this now.
Good.
But next year, you know, we want to start advertising it nationally. And in order to advertise nationally, you know, we have to have, one, our plan in place. But two, we'll have to start, you know, a year ahead advertising, you know, to some big places.
Nebraska Department of Tourism should be helping us.
That's a discussion that you and I should have.
Okay. All right.
Not here.
We
today.
Need to try to get some financing for some sort of dark glasses for Mr. Bauman.
Yes.
So that he'll be able to see that.
I've already asked somebody to start checking those down so that we can put our own. I can buy them right now if I want, but it's going to have somebody else's logo and somebody else's information on. I want to find the ones that we can put our information on. So we've already asked. I mean, so we're in that process. Each time there's an eclipse that happens, the company that makes them sells out way ahead of time. So this is...
Lori, when you talk of funding from the county or help from the county, are you talking about the fund that you have there now, maybe allocating a greater part of that towards this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about that as we move forward. But if we can really put some good, strong dollars behind marketing, we have a potential to increase our visitation here and really make a huge impact on the county. Because, you know, if we have 10,000 people that show up for just a day, can you imagine?
Well, it'd almost be like you want some of them to go to Adams, some of them to go to Pickerel.
Absolutely.
You don't want them all concentrated in one. That,
yep. No, we don't. But, I mean,
you
it's going to take county resources.
Yeah.
Flush.
You know, I mean, it really, that's why I talked to Gus. It's going to take county-wide resources to manage this, so we need to be thinking about it now. So we're planning now. So part of it is, and I was going to ask later, but I'll ask now, I would really like to have one of you on the planning committee. So please think about who would like to be on the planning committee.
John Hill would love to be on.
he's like...
he pulled the radar up right away. Is that a motion? Do you
need? Yeah, absolutely.
But we really...
the best.
Yeah, I've said that I need a city person on that planning committee, and we need a county person on that planning committee. Roger. Because we're also going to be asking all of our cities to make sure that their streetlights are overridden that day.
Oh,
what's that? Would you?
All the streetlights. We're going to ask all the cities to override their streetlights so they don't come on.
Because they're on that.
Is that safe, though?
Because the eyes on them will come on otherwise.
Yeah, because it'll sunset start.
And it'll diminish the viewing experience.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be that dark?
No. Especially if it's cloudy.
It's not going to be. There's a halo around it. But it will be dark enough, yes, to turn on streetlights.
A skeptic, but I'll go with it, I guess.
Matt's going to be at my beck and call. We'll see. I'm going to command the sun to go away. And
oh, yeah, don't tell anybody.
It'll start. Our totality here is about 1:02, I believe, is really close to the time that we'll have full totality for those 2 minutes and 35 seconds. It's going to start at about 11:30, and then it'll end about 3:30-ish.
Where it starts covering.
Starts covering.
Wow.
And then it covers. And the phases between when it starts to cover and it starts to uncover are where it's most dangerous to look at. That's where you need the glasses. When it's total, you can take them off and you can see it without the glasses. We're becoming an expert on solar eclipses.
Oh, as long as we don't have any.
So when the sun is showing, you're not supposed to look at the sun.
Just a heads up.
When it's covering, you're not supposed to look at the sun. But when it's completely dark, you can look at it.
Right. No, I think most of us, this is the first we've heard about that.
Yes.
Pretty amazing. Yep. And mm-hmm. I think something great to look forward to.
It's 2 days before my birthday.
And, John, does that work for you to be on this committee?
I think it's more down Jurgens'.
I think it is.
Jurgens?
Yeah. I think it's down Jurgens'.
Going through his area.
He's rooster in the eclipse.
Yeah.
We don't need an answer today,
you know,
but
Hill was the unanimous choice.
Yeah.
But I do think it's imperative that we have a county supervisor or representative from the county that attends the meetings, and because, you know, the city's going to be impacted, but all of your communities are going to be impacted. All of Gage County will be dark, depending on how long, depending on where you're at in the county, but all of Gage County will be dark.
Wow. Pretty amazing.
This is incredible.
That is.
Isn't it?
This is an incredible thing. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Wouldn't it have been easier if you'd planned it on the weekend, though?
We're starting on Saturday, so I mean.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah.
Thanks for the input.
Thank you.
Can we vote on that? Is that a motion?
So,
interesting.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Any more questions for Abby or any?
We'll cover a lot of
them. Motion to place this on file.
Yep. Motion to place this on file. Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Vote 7-0. And we have a request for a 5-minute break.
If we need the additional money for this, you can get it from Lytle.
Okay, we're on.
Okay.
I'm on my own.
We do have the mics back on again. Call a meeting back to order. Next up on the agenda, receive Highway Superintendent's recommendation on rock and gravel bids. Evan?
Okay, my recommendation...
is to approve all rock and gravel bids that we received at the August 19th meeting, except for the bid from Niemeyer Trucking LLC. And the reason behind that is the Niemeyer bid did not meet all the contract specifications.
I guess what? Oh, why? We need a motion to approve or disapprove, and then we.
Well, that's coming up, isn't it, though, Meyer?
Well, that's later. Yeah, no, this is discussion. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why Niemeyer one? Yeah.
Well, Galen and I spoke about that this morning. Well, he spoke to Galen. Maybe Galen, why don't you explain the meeting you did have?
I did speak with John. He stopped in the office yesterday. I gave him a call, and I asked him if he had actually picked up the specifications for this contract for the rock and gravel. He said no, he hadn't. So I did talk to him and informed him that there was a $15,000 performance bond and or a certified check if it was awarded, this bid was awarded, that he'd have to have. When he come into the office, we talked about that. I asked him if he's aware of that. He said no, he wasn't. And he said after a discussion, he said he wouldn't have a problem coming with that. Another one of my main questions was what kind of insurance did he carry? He said he had a commercial insurance, and on the phone I kind of talked about some of the insurance requirements, the $500,000 general liability, et cetera. He thought his commercial insurance would cover it, but when he picked up the contract, he said he'd look at that for sure and then also talk with his insurance agent if he had any questions about it. The things that we did talk about in the office yesterday was one of my main concerns was in the contract, they talk about that it's not allowed to dump with a grain hopper trailer. His trailer is a belt bottom trailer. I've never been around one. It's my understanding it's just a belt that augers it out the back. Well, in the contract, it's actually stated on there that the gravel, when you dump it, it'll be staked by the county road department. We'll stake it for on a township road. We haul with truck and pups, and we stake it for 6 loads per mile on a township road, which is approximately 880 feet. When it's spread with a truck or a pup, normally it'll spread the gravel out, oh, say 10 to 12 feet wide, and you'll get 1 to 2 inches of cover. In the contract, it actually states in there that you can't have the gravel on the road over 2 inches from the top of the road surface. It's at maximum depth when this is dumped on the roads. Another thing in the contract, it states in there that a contractor won't deliver less than 150 ton of gravel per day until the order is filled. With speaking to him, basically what he's going to be doing is he's taking corn up to the Columbus area, and when he comes back, he wants to haul a load of gravel back with him. He did say he hauls about 29 ton on this. Well, he said he'd haul 1 to 2 loads a day is what it would haul, which is only, well, about less than 60 ton a day. When I did also talk with him further, he said if he was did get this bid with Grant Township, that he would, in September, he would be hauling grain, and it would be about 15 to 20 loads. Then in November, he'd be making another round and be hauling about 15 to 20 loads. So this would be spread out over that term on the loads. That was another thing that didn't meet in the contract. Let's see if there's another one. He did talk with Grant Township. When his hopper dumps, I said, well, when you dump with that belt hopper, what are you going to have on the road normally? He says, well, he's hauled rock with before, like for his driveway and stuff. He says, normally we'll dump, there'll be about a 4-foot wide windrow is what will come out of the trailer. And he said, it may be spread a little bit more if you go down the road a little bit faster. When we talked a little bit about the distance, because normally a truck and a pup will stretch 880 feet, I believe, normally. He kind of basically was a little concerned about that. He didn't know how far. He said it'd take a lot of experimenting to see, but he didn't know if this six loads would do a whole mile was another concern. So those were some of the concerns that I had. And also another concern that I had when he did turn in his bid, it was, and he never did see the bid documents. He just submitted it on a sheet of paper and said, I'll deliver so many loads to Grand Township for X amount of dollars on that. So he never did sign anything that basically would put him in this contract as far as all the insurance requirements and everything else. I'm no lawyer or anything like that, but it wasn't a signed document. It was just a paper that he had sent in for the bid specs. So that's just some of the basic things that I see.
Roger, would that be, I guess, a concern? He did. He just had a piece of paper that was typed on there with his name.
Well, again, the whole idea of having the standard forms is so that people like Galen and this board can look at it, compare apples to apples. And which you just told me, this isn't an apple. Yeah, you got a lot of different things out there that you got to look at. And again, the normal protocol here is to accept the bids and stuff. And I, you know, if he's the only one out there, well, you want to work around these things. But again, you put down the specifications so that everybody is bidding on an even field. And I don't know. Again, what we do with rock and gravel is a little bit unique, anyhow. And in light of the, I guess what I'm getting to as far as before I just throw him out, if he's the only one that can get your product here and when you need it, and you choose to say, we'll work around this, that'd be one thing. But I think what Galen's saying is, you know, when you're doing experiments and you only got so much time and everybody's screaming for product, I don't think that's not when you want to do your experiments. Let the university do the experiments.
I know where Galen's coming from. The biggest issue to me would be the spreading of the material properly and the with it spread out so long, you know. I mean, with that type of spread on the road, I'm guessing that they would have to be out there daily with the patrol, you know, and to spread the materials, which would be a problem, I would think, if you spread that out over 15 days straight for each truckload, you know. I like the idea. Yeah. I know it would be good gravel, a little cheaper, and it's just another source. But I understand where Galen's coming from.
I will make one comment, too. That morning after we left here, DeVern Pullman from Grant, he was out here, visited with him a little bit, and DeVern said that, you know, he would try and do what he could with the grader to help him out. But there are also other, I guess, concerns or questions about the bid. I like the idea that we have somebody that's really wanting to help or whatever, and I would encourage him to maybe, you know, if we don't approve him this time, to maybe get the proposal, get the bid forms and all of that, and come back through and do it again. There might be some ways we can work with him, you know.
Or is there an option, you know, if we see by this fall we're way behind? And, I mean, during harvest wouldn't be a good time, and that's probably when he's going to be gone, because everybody's going to always be busy during harvest. That's probably when this corn or material will be coming back. But I'm not saying don't give it a try, though. That's my thinking. You know, I mean, keep your mind open. If we get way behind on supplies, give it a shot. See what happens.
I'm not sure who Grant Township uses for an operator for their patrol, but it would be during harvest time. And
it sounded like Vern did it, or somebody, or there are the patrols at his place. At least that's what it sounded like. I'm not sure.
Jason, though. I think, might
really. Vern, boy does. Vern and Jason both do some.
Both do it. Yeah, that's what it sounded like. So
and then it'll be that during their harvest time.
Well, September here, maybe not so much, but you know, but yeah, there's part of it would be during the harvest time and how you work that out. And
John could do that. You post hole and solar eclipse and grab the patrol.
All right. We'll do your road first. I'll learn on your road.
Don't learn on his road. I use that.
And I know I like the idea too. I guess there's just maybe with this time here, I mean,
do we, as we've done in the past, we accept it all bids.
Accept all bids, yeah.
I would just soon maybe not exclude him right away, but I mean, that's what we'd be looking at doing, right, Galen? No.
Yeah,
because we wouldn't accept his bid, I think.
He was lowest bid for right. Grant Township. That's the only township you bid, but he was lowest bid.
But what I get from you, you are recommending that we do not accept his bid either way. Is that right?
Yeah, just because of the...
Yes,
the,
that's what I mean. So we'd have to...
And just for the press there, his bid was $15.50 a cubic yard. Is that right? A cubic yard?
No, per ton.
Per ton. $15.50 per ton. The next bidder was Rock On Hauling from Ace Sand and Gravel for $16.10 per ton. So it was about 60 cents less per ton.
I like the idea of the local, the township, somebody from the township doing this. Now, company I work for bid on this, so I mean, just throwing that out there. But when you do something, especially in a public body, in a private bid, you can, I mean, you might see something scratched on a napkin and handed, and hey, here's my price, or just verbally. In a public bidding situation, I think you have to get those forms and you have to put it on that paper. You have to agree that you're going to abide by that. I would say that was just a no bid on there. It doesn't look like it's quite. If he could do it somehow, if there's a stockpile situation, I think that trailer would be great. You know, if Galen had stockpile material somewhere and he could back up and dump it there. For this application, it doesn't look like it works anyway. But even if it would work, even if it would go the way it's supposed to, and he could spread it properly, I think in these situations where we have a bid and we have bid documents, you know, you're given to a certain time to have those in, not to have a price, but to have that document in. I think we should kind of abide by that. This one's kind of an easier one because he can't quite meet what the contract's asking for anyway. But in future bids and stuff, it's still the bid documents that you're turning in.
Well, if you accepted that bid, what do you do for setting up the future as far as other bids? And people come in just off the top of their head and give you something and say, well, this is my bid. We don't know how we're going to do it, but maybe like this and like this. No, I don't think we can accept this.
Did he have the bond with it?
No, that isn't due until he's within 10 days after actually being awarded the bid, the way it states in the contract.
After we accept, okay. Yeah. And the insurance product, are the insurance documents, were they required to be with the bid? I don't recall the bid.
Those come after. Once
you got to have everything within 10 days, I believe, yes.
Okay, all right.
Of being awarded of the bid.
Right. I was looking to what Denny was saying there, you know, to make it fair before everybody gets, you know, their bids out there. And it wasn't like he didn't bring the bid in later, did he?
No, it was here on time, but it just wasn't in on a... It just on the paper that he showed you.
Roger, is the bid documents really all that important?
Well,
he had it in on time, it was sealed. It was.
That's not his.
Example.
I
mean, if he had the info that was necessary, it was sealed in on time.
It came in this envelope. It was sealed. But then there, instead of the whole documents filled out, it was just the one page or whatever.
I mean, basically, specification, instructions, and bid forms may be obtained. Then say, and I'm not being critical on anybody because this typically doesn't come up, but shall be used or shall only be submitted on official forms from Galen's office. I'm more concerned about that he's not putting the product on at the same. You're going to have to change your whole operation, the townships, everybody. And I'm not saying that's good or bad or different. I don't know anything about it. I mean, I just get a bigger bucket if I need more gravel. If that causes concern for, you know, getting the product on in a timely fashion and servicing the townships and the other gravel needs, I think that's why you have those type of requirements. And I know, you know, a lot of times somebody can do it cheaper because, I don't want to say it that way, they don't have the same expenses and stuff that the other people that are submitting bids do. And again, if we run into a situation, I would just suggest this to you. You can certainly, down the road, if you don't have product available or something, you know this guy's out here. That didn't stop you from going shopping. I mean, these are the bids. These are what you follow your protocol like you've done in the past several years, and you get down to the end, and there is no gravel. You can't, or the price is way exorbitant. I think you come in, you know, talk to your committee, and we come back here, and we take, you know, we can look at somebody. But I think, in all fairness to the other folks, the ones that followed the rules, you got to use them. And I know the township, they may not be happy about that for the price, but.
I don't know that the price is all that.
Isn't.
You're talking about 60 cents difference, but they're also going to have to go out and do extra work and everything, and that's going to create more expense.
Yeah.
That's
and again,
it's actually cheaper, quite honestly.
That's what Galen is.
Yeah.
That's why he makes recommendations, because he's got a better idea.
And I think that's one of the things, you know, as far as the how it's spread on the road. I mean, the township can have good intentions to be out there every day. But if it hits during harvest time and their operator is involved in ag, it's going to be difficult for them to do. And, you know, and then it may lay there longer than it should at a deeper depth than what it should be that could potentially pull somebody into the ditch or whatever, you know. And but I think it's something to continue to look at, I mean, as far as finding a way to make it work.
Roger, just for clarification, what you're saying is without being on the bid documents, you do not think it should be accepted.
I would go along with what Galen's saying there based on his rationale and his recommendation to you. Legally, again, not to be critical of anybody, but, you know, when you bid stuff, you come in, you talk to you got a question, you'll answer it for him or one of your folks down there. And I know people grumble about that, but like Eric's saying, you know, you don't submit these things on a napkin or over a cup of coffee at the country kitchen.
Okay.
Yep.
And then now I entertain a motion for the bids. Because we have Galen's.
Okay. I would like to entertain a motion that we accept all bids with the exclusion of John Niemeyer's. Because it didn't meet the requirements that have been set forth on there.
Second.
Motion by Durgan, second by Bauman.
Yep.
Any more discussion? Vote. 6 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Next up on the agenda is approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and the Beatrice Humane Society for services to the county in kenneling captured, seized, and strayed animals from the county.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Lytle. And we have that here with us.
Yeah. 15,000. Who captures and strayed animals in the county?
I'm not finding it. In them.
We don't take those in.
This agreement, we.
I just got rid of three like that.
That's it?
Today? I'll look that up for sure. So Don's looking up the dollar amount, but this is an agreement we always have with the Humane Society.
It's
part of our payment from the county. And a quick comment I heard the other day on the radio or somewhere that. Or maybe we're in the paper that
sure
they're getting close
to
done with their plans for their new facility or closer.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you charge you,
don't they? Going to have to raise money
next. Well, now they have to raise money.
I pick it up.
But their plans are getting pretty well finalized. I don't know where exactly I heard that, but maybe it's on the radio.
Right? I'm pretty sure that's the way it works.
What did we have?
Sheriff's office might get called on it.
But they don't respond.
They might have to go pick them up. Yeah, we've had that happen with all those.
This is our agreement with the county and the Beatrice Humane Society, and this is for $15,000 for the term of the fiscal year and payments in August, November, February, and May. Any more questions? Vote. 7-0. Approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and the Library Board of the City of Beatrice for the services to Gage County residents.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Byers. Questions or comments?
It's the same amount as what?
The same amount as we've done several years, which is
23,000. Next meeting we'll have Wymore's.
Yeah, next meeting we'll have Wymore's. But, yeah, period of 1 year for $23,000. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove amendments to the 2015-2016 budget as published. Matt, go ahead and explain.
Just there was some discussion over the last couple of weeks about how we put the budget together. I think the general dollar amount is unchanged, and I gave my paper to Mr. Britson, so I'm going to steal the county attorney's. The looks like the 15-16 year tax request, how much additional dollars we're asking from the taxpayers. The increase would be 1.06%, which has been published and discussed. Within that, it is roughly $8 million, just under $8.1 million tax request. In there, there's also a $900,000 bond payment for a total request of almost right at $9 million. The county levy would go outside of the bond from 0.306924 down to 0.267766, and again there's a 3 cent bond on there, so the total all-inclusive levy for the bond and the county would be 0.297766. And there's in there's the ag levy, the historical society, fire departments, which are 3 cents, township levy request, which is 7.5 cents. Please recall that, as we saw last, I think almost all of those requests are under 4 cents or under under 5 cents now. Most of those are down. That's a reflection, obviously, of valuation increase. The chairman spoke to the valuation increase earlier. I know that's what was published. That's what we will vote on later. But there was some discussion, and I wanted to make sure that we had and thank the chairman for putting that on there, an amendment motion prior to actually voting on the regular budget, so that we made sure that we knew exactly what we were voting on. So if there are amendments offered, now would be the time.
I talked to Matt, and we discussed this some. The only budget that really threw up red flags was the sheriff's budget. There's some expenses in there that are showing some of the increase, like we talked about earlier, that server. There's a $20,000 equipment replacement. That's not really him spending anything more. There's some fairly substantial increases in salary. For some reason, I don't have my sheets that I had all put together so that I would have them here. But there are some increases in salary, fairly significant ones. You space the in-car cameras out to a four-year term to where there's about $24,000 a year on those. That server will help accommodate those with increased memory for that. 17 body cams, I think it's somewhere around $9,000. Some money spent to refurbish some cars. I was really on the fence on this one. And that's after a big cut. You had already made big cuts to the original requests on things to get us down to around that 10% increase. There's just a lot of Oh, thank you. There's just a lot of bread going out. I know there's the thing that really got me looking at this before was the increased security here, and that's what we discussed at that first meeting that we talked about it. Most of that's been, I think maybe all of that's been taken out already now. Which, I mean, maybe we'll keep looking at potential other options for security here. There just comes a, you know, there has to be somewhere. Everyone else is kind of in about the same boat with small increases. The stuff you use, I realize, is not inexpensive. And anything that you're going to need is going to be more because it's for law enforcement. Unfortunately, that seems to be law enforcement and fire. If it's for either of you, that means that if I'm a supplier, I can double the price right away, it seems like. But we've talked about that quite a while. I've still really been on the fence on here. I saw you put another request together that it actually trimmed a little bit more off. But, I mean, in the big scheme of things, it was not a big amount of money there.
No, and that's why I gave that to Matt Haddon. I told Don, make sure you all had that. Those are three basic things, and I really don't think any of those really were a wish list. I talked to Roger yesterday again. I know we trimmed out a lot of the money, well, almost all the money for the cameras, and all, depending on how the budget's adopted today, is if I'm going to be able to find that payment, annual payment for the next 4 years out, because that's just almost going to have to be a necessity more for Roger to do the job, or half our cases will probably be getting out the door, you know. So those are the three things. And, of course, the board signed off on the idea of refurbishing the old cars we were going to sell. And that price there is for two cars. Normally, that's the price for about one. So that goes to show how much we have scaled. I'm trying to get it back to the cheapest new equipment I can get and very basic stuff in those cars until I know what's going to happen in a year and a half, because we've got negotiations again on that.
And that server, I mean, we've already approved that, too.
Yeah.
That shows an increase in your budget, but that's a replacement cost.
Just clarification, I don't think we technically approved that. I think when we had the discussion...
We agreed with it.
When we had the discussion, we confirmed that that's your office over there, and if you see it, that it needs to be done, that you do it.
Right. It was a decision that if I didn't, I wouldn't have all the cars. And that's why I'm doing the cheapest route temporarily to get us by. So, yeah. And, of course, the wages, that was number one priority. That was sad. That just had to happen.
The car video, this is a question, I guess, on this. All our computer stuff wears out after a couple of years. Are those things going to be worn out at that four-year term then where we're buying them again?
Good question. I asked that exact question. I was told that design now to where instead of having the whole thing has to go out, now they just take out the software and upgrade the software, and the equipment itself stays. The advantage of this particular, and we've tried four different ones, these here also do dual purpose. They also have a computer built into them. So the computers we have now that are completely outdated and too slow, that takes care of that problem as well. So they're kind of dual purpose. That's why those are the ones that we opted to end up going with. So now, whether, again, there's money to do it, I don't know. I'll have to wait and see. But
here's another one, I guess. If this goes through... I mean, next year, are we going to be more in line with everything else where it's a few percent? We're down around that area again?
Well, I certainly hope that. You know, I think Matt pointed out a few times off and on, even as chairman probably, and especially in my work, you'll go along fine for a while, and then you have a year where something comes up. And unfortunately, if I'm not doing my job, if I don't bring it up and put it in the budgets, ammunition, I can't tell you how much that's gone up since we started having these conflicts around the world. And it's nothing to have a $5,000 order that is just nothing but a few little boxes. And I have to have ammunition, believe it or not. We don't carry one in the pocket like Barney used to. And I've mandated things we have to do. So it's frustrating. I noticed in here initially we had, I think the full request was put in on the SWAT side. So it could very well be some of that money, if it's approved like that, I'll use that maybe for my first year's payment on the cameras and shave back a little bit on that side of it for ammunition, because they use a lot for their training to stay proficient at what they do. Every lawsuit that you have, and I've had my share here lately, one of the first things they say is failure to train. Roger knows the wording well, being an attorney. Whether you did or not is irrelevant, but they always word that. So I try to always be cautious in that area and make sure that the board and committee knows I got to train to some point. And unfortunately, some of it you can get online through NIRMA. Some of it I have to send the academy. One or two might have to go out of state, depending what it is. The training budget is minimal at best. It was $3,000 for many years. I put up to $5,000 for 1 year, and I'm thinking it went back down to three again on proposal here from the board. But when you figure $3,000 over 3 to 5 employees for a year's time, that's really minuscule. But you do what you got to with the number you have and try to do your best. So, yeah, this year was, and I told the committee off and on, it was going to be an ugly year. I knew it was going to be. And that's why I told them right away just to get the cars out of there. I just put those in there to have them for discussion. But there's things that were more important to me at that point in time than those cars. So,
and I know it's not our job to decide how you pay anyone. Just seeing potential really big increases in salaries, even if they're lower than the median, that might be something to work up to slowly or something too, to keep some money there for daily operations. You could work into over time. When we looked at those sheets for sergeants and for administrative staff, there wasn't anything on there that said anything about years of service. And I mean, my opinion is you take a comparability study and you throw it away. It's completely worthless. Pay somebody for what they do. And I know you've got, some people that do a good job there. So then that's where I understand the increase. I understand losing people. It's tough to keep anybody in any job anymore. Everyone's always shopping. It's just, I would hope if this goes through as is, then next year it's more in line with everything else. And I'm going to be a stickler. This last year, we had increases at the end of the year where we went over. The jail's a tough one. That's one of those where your control's kind of gone. On the other side, it seems like there'd be a lot more control there. Even if we cut you down really tight, if we have overages at the end of the year, I'm probably going to vote it. Well, I won't say I will. I'm going to vote against it unless there's something catastrophic unplanned for,
Well, and that's the things you don't know is work. 1 year we budgeted about $10,000 for investigations. 1 year alone, I had a $50,000 bill for an investigation. Shot my whole budget. So it is difficult to stand here and try to budget knowing what you're going to, at best, it's a guesstimate for the year. And try to get seven people that really don't understand my work, even the committee, and understand why these expenses are where they are. Matt and I talked about doing the wages over the next 2-3 years, and I certainly am open to doing things like that. But you can't recruit and retain if you don't keep up their best you can. And I don't think anybody here can disagree. Those are way off numbers. I'm not just 25 and 50 cents an hour. And we can't get that far off. I mean, it's a big difference. Now, obviously, if that's something that they opt to do and do it over 2-3 years, then when we do that, and I'll explain that to the people. But I at least want to make sure I'm putting my best foot forward and trying to get that done for them, because that's very important to have. And those are a lot of my key people. So.
Well, and I saw that too. I mean, they're key individuals there. I really struggle on this, and you're absolutely right. Not realizing or not understanding exactly what you do, it's hard to say, okay, we're going to peel this off. What really got me was just reading through this one. I don't call it a wish list, but there was, seriously, I think I heard sleigh bells on the one. That was a complete wish list on that.
What I did on this, so you understand, is this year I had my divisions indicate what they would like to have for the next 2 or 3 years out. So the board would see what we're looking at. Now, some of those things, do they need right now? No. But we would down the road at some point in time. Those things there are things I need that I think are important as a whole.
That's a little bit different than anything we saw before,
right,
though.
I did that different this year to just give people an idea of what's out there that we're looking at. Now, like the van, with a new van 1 year and a van sale next, that probably won't be an expense for many, many years, hopefully. But you'll have those one-time expenditures that come up you just can't foresee. And it happens. And like I explained to Lenhart, I can get a car this year, and in 4 years I get another car because it's got one little bump or bolt different on the floorboard. Everything in that car will not work. It's frustrating for me too, as well. But we do try. I know it might not look like we try very hard to keep the budget dollars down and do what you can. But well, there's just times it's just difficult. It really is.
I'll make one comment, too. I think as a board here, several of us have visited amongst ourselves, but the one part of the budget that we visited the most about was yours, Gus, and some of the things going on there. We understand the need for everything, and then especially when in the last couple of weeks here you go around the country and what some of this thing has happened. I'll just say this. Not very many of us like to be in your shoes, I can tell you that, just because of the way our society or our country has kind of gone, too. And we do all understand the need for this, and we all do realize you're not just doing a wish list. We do realize that. But then at the same time, a lot of our conversation was this is the county's money. This is the taxpayers' money, and how do we best watch that? So, I mean, whatever we decide here today, it's not a knee-jerk reaction. Appreciate Matt and the committee really doing what they did. Appreciate you guys for turning in everything you did. But there's been a lot of discussion amongst your budget and some of the other things, too. But I think most people, most entities, government entities, when they do budgets, they have a lot of discussion. You read in the paper and everything, and we have had that, too, as a board and stuff. So,
well, and I mean, you're looking at not just 3 or 4 or 5% increases in salary. You're looking at 20% increases.
That's right.
And, some of the and if I've had telephone calls and anything within budgets, it's on your budget, Gus.
Well, you didn't tell them they didn't have raises for 6 years either, and that's what irritates me, Denny. There's no effort made to do that.
I have no idea about that, but I know what we see today.
I understand that, but you explained to them?
And if they didn't have raises?
I don't keep people. That's what happens, probably.
Okay. So why didn't you have raises?
Well, good question, because the step plan's out there. They make that max, and they're forgot about because we get so overwhelmed with that issues with the union all the time. These people forgot about. Now, if I wouldn't have been watching that this year, we probably would have forgot it again. So they need to get a raise. When you have people that far behind, that's an embarrassment, Denny. I'm sorry. I don't care how you want to look at it. I don't care how tight the money is. That's an embarrassment to be that far behind on pay. You know, especially for key people that are salaried, that don't get anything else throughout the year. That's my point. But I certainly would be willing to negotiate that over a period of a very short-term period of time. But, hey, we need wages, too, just like anybody else on the street. So that's
absolutely
my point.
No question about it. Yeah. I'm seeing nobody out there that's increasing anybody 20%.
Yeah.
And whether they've forgotten it last year, the year before, the year before, you see people that they're getting 2.5%, 3.5% increases, and if somebody's up to 4.5%, everybody's just raising the heck. And here we're looking at 20% on these individuals. Are they worth it? Maybe so.
Well, I wouldn't have sheriff's office.
20% to do 20% in one budget year is a lot, man. We have to go out and answer.
Yes, you do. And I'll be glad to tell anybody their face why that's there.
And so do you. So, anyway,
the board
raised.
Yeah, that's
the point. That this isn't just a couple of percent.
Well, and it's there, put out there for you. Now, it's up to the board what you're going to do with the money, and then I have to decide what I'm going to do with it once it's in the budget. But I put up there what I think I need now, and you guys decide what you want to put in it, and I'll deal with it.
Absolutely, we put in your budget.
That's how I work.
Spend it the way you want to. That's your responsibility.
That's right. So I just don't want to get to the point where we're so mindful of things, my services get cut. That's my biggest fear. And if it does, and it could be that bad, then that's what happens. But we're trying not to have that take place. I mean, there have been a lot of things we've done over the years, as you well know, on the facility, trying to beef up security there, do something over here since they now want to have a security administrator for the court, and the courthouse and the county. And so, I mean, just a lot of things have been added to the plate over the years. I really have. So,
Gary.
And on that note, Gus, that's, I guess, the one thing that I wanted to add to the conversation was that you're doing a good job with what you have as far as the services go. I think it's important that we keep in mind the services that we have rather than trying to expand them services any farther than we already have. I think we took on quite a bit by adding Brian Davidson in the courthouse. And I think if we go any further and adding any more staff into keeping the courthouse safe, I think that's more service than what our budget can handle or what your budget can handle. But that's quite honestly, that's your decision to make. But I think we're doing what we can.
I agree.
And I think we need to be mindful of that as far as going out and adding more staff to that type of service.
Absolutely. I agree.
I guess that's just kind of the thing I had to add to that conversation. Because I think it's important that you have the people to do the job that
need to do, but they also need the equipment. And them cars that you're talking about that aren't going to be in the budget, I think them are important to your guys because they're not able to jump on a bicycle and be a bike cop in town.
No.
They can't, you know, they got to have that car to be able to go around the county. So.
Well, that's obviously, like I say, it's a discussion. I'm getting by the cheap route for a year and a half to see what happens in a year and a half. That's just what it's going to boil down to on that. So but like I'm putting some things ahead of that, basically, is what I'm doing.
And like I told you before, that concerns me that we're taking, and even if you would have bought used vehicles, it concerns me because we had so many vehicles that we just bought within the last year and a half ago. I don't remember exact timing, but now we're going to have all these vehicles come and due again at the same time. And
yeah, half of them anyway.
You're going to come to the board and say, I got so many vehicles that are outdated, and what are we going to do? That concerns me.
Well, again, that goes back to, I don't think anybody here on this board probably, but the boards in the past could never get decided to get into programs. A lot of counties do. And every year, if one comes due, whatever the reason is, it's replaced with new. And we just can't get that established here, and that's where we end up with these problems. Boards in the past wanted used. This board indicated last time I'd like to stay with new, which I understand exactly why, because it is expensive on transition. But we got to get to that point at some point in time, and that's something the board's going to have to decide how they want to handle that. I'm just doing what I can with what I'm going to have, basically.
It's also tough, though. I was sitting at Burger King the other day having breakfast. I looked over. There's five sheriff's vehicles sitting in the ambulance lot. When somebody asks, why do we have five cars sitting? Why do we have five cars is the first question.
I know.
And then why do we have five cars sitting there? I said, I don't know for sure. There's probably a meeting. I didn't know.
A lot of things. Meeting, training, reports. I mean, there could be. They're not on the road all the time where you're going to see the budgets increased on that line item for gas. I mean, so there's a blend in there. They just.
In the private world, though, you have those people in a couple units and you send them out and you don't need that many. So it's hard to justify that in my world. In my world, if you have that many units and you don't use them, you get rid of them. Or you sell them, you repurpose them for something else. That's where it's really hard for me to, I can't justify it. When I look at it, there's no way for me to logically justify having that many units. Now,
well,
there's times when you're probably thinking, I need, you know, multiple more of each of these. And whenever you have peak times, I'm sure that's the way it is. It's like that everywhere. It's just hard to justify some of those things.
Well, it's. I always tell people when they go to the NICO conference, the board, talk to other and see what other sheriffs do, because most of them all have their own take-home car. That's just the way it is across the state that I'm aware of. But having said that, it's really out of my hands now because it's gone to the court. So as you all well know, that's where we wait and see what happens on that now. So don't know what's going to go on.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you at least were thinking outside the box ways to save money.
Well, I see where that went.
Yeah.
I can't seem to win on anything, I guess, but that's we'll just wait and see where that goes in a year and a half.
This is a, you know, quite significant increase, and I guess spend it wisely.
I don't see it being there next year again.
No.
Well, it might not be there next year. I might not need some stuff. It just, that's why I say it depends. You know, Gary made a comment here a few meetings back, and probably the most intelligent one I've heard in a long time, not saying it's.
Did you say Gary made it?
Yeah. Isn't that surprising? He said, you know, maybe, and I don't remember what he was referring to, so maybe it's about time we just pump more money in the budget. Not that anybody wants to see that happen, but I thought this year when the things all get settled, I was going to call around to the comparable counties and see what their budgets were to give me a comparison to see where we're at, to see if we're up or down or about where we're supposed to be. I'm kind of curious on that. I just can't believe that we're having more problems in other counties. I just don't understand why there's always such an issue. But at least it'd be something to talk about committee and see kind of what's where we're at on it. Because it's all about money. We all know that. But what I do affects him. And what he does affects the court. And what the court does affects back over to my jail. So it's a vicious circle. And I just talked to Roger yesterday about some of this. And, you know, if I can work something out on the budget, whatever you guys didn't finalize, I can at least get one payment made this year. Fine. And if I can't, that he wants his cameras, and we just keep doing what we're doing now.
Well, I talked to Roger about those too. I mean, he echoed the exact same thing you said about
having that documentation. That's not just good for you. It's not just good for the county protecting that side. I always look at the individual, too. It's good for the individual. There's an actual record there as well.
Well, it keeps us honest, you know. I like to think things like that don't happen in my department, but I'll say that now, a day and a week from now, you never know.
I hope not, but, you know, there's always that,
That's right.
That chance.
So you need to have that ability to come back and review it.
And those issues aren't new.
No.
It's just 24-hour news cycle now.
Now.
So you hear about it. It's been going on since the beginning of time.
Yeah, it just seems like it's more than that.
But yours is a big budget. It's just, it'd be nice to see stuff peeled off instead of put on. Just seeing the increases from, I had Don look back for me the last, you know, several years. And if you look from 3 years to today, that's getting, was that somewhere around $200,000 in 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of bread increase. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And we're doing more or less the same. I mean, we're doing the same thing, basically. It's just increased that much in a few years. That's hard to swallow.
It is.
It's hard to swallow.
No, Eric, some of that, and not to defend it or against it, but part of that is we've had more expense for personnel up here in the courthouse, okay? That's part of where
that is a big part.
And,
and my opinion still is you'd get rid of that altogether. That's not an option. That's not something we can do. I realize
not
that.
An option, but...
I think part of it, too, leading up to this was... Right before budgets, too, we talked about cameras, and a few cameras turned into $70,000. I mean, there's pretty soon you get a burr under the saddle, and it keeps rubbing raw and raw and raw, and then...
Well, that depends on how many cars we're going to have, so I'm figuring that budget is for the cars I have them now. That's
he was talking about the courthouse.
Oh, up here. Oh, well,
courthouse security and cameras,
A small thing turned into something big, and then there's...
Well, and you have to remember now also, when that stuff's brought to you as a board, that's what that security group recommends. It doesn't mean the board has to do it. That's just fear knowledge. No need getting upset about it. If you don't do any, it ain't going to bother me any. It's just they tried. You know,
the bad thing is each of those, you know, what we see is the badge. That's that department. It's each time. So whether you wanted it or not, you're the face that takes the...
Well, security is not cheap. Private security is not cheap. That's huge business now. Between police officer and deputy sheriff off duty, that's what works out here at the hospital all night, making more than they do working here, you know. But security is huge across the country, and it's expanding daily.
People are more and more worried.
That's a really real thing.
And like I say, everything that goes to your department costs more because it's for law enforcement.
And our calls for service have gone up over the years, the number of calls we have. The jail population has gone up over the years. So,
part of society.
Yeah.
I did have a conversation with Gus and call this being politically correct. I did request that maybe the frequency at which he comes to the board requesting money. I think we became fatigued very near budget time.
I'm not saying the needs aren't there,
but there was a fatigue of it just seemed like there was always something. So your timing was horrible. and things come up, but I think that there was a tone set out there where there was a fatigue for things continuing to go in. So that might have been some of it as well.
Yeah.
I think we've kind of batted around quite extensively, you know, the needs and things that are out there, and then the concern for the costs. And I think that we continue to have a good understanding and appreciation that this is our process.
It is.
You've been very cordial at standing there and.
It's probably been hard.
I've worked over four decades doing this with three different sheriffs. I've learned a few things. One is it doesn't help to scream and yell at one another because it's not going to serve the public at all. We can agree to disagree and I'll walk away, and if I have to end up doing something to cut something that's going to affect a little bit maybe what we do for service, that's what I do, and I try to explain it to people. But there's no need. Well, Juergens, I might get mad at once in a while, but outside of that, you know, it's just fact of life. I know you guys try to watch the spending, and I have to spend what I need to do my job. That's what it boils down to. So,
no, thank you for coming here, though, and helping explain this. I mean,
not a problem.
The board appreciates that very much and stuff. So, is there any amendments or anything anybody would like to propose? Otherwise, we'll go on and approve the budget.
Thank you.
Go forward. Okay. Seeing no amendments, we will... go on to the next line. Approve or disapprove resolution setting 2015-2016 tax request at a different rate than 2014-2015 tax request.
Motion to approve.
Resolution number 15-15.
15-15, motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Hill. And that is our resolution setting. This includes the bond, our total property tax request of $9,005,244.59. And our mill levy then, that includes the 3 mill levy for the bond of 0.336924. Without the bond, our mill levy would be 2.290842, or a 1.06% increase.
29776.
Change that just a little bit then.
That's last year's funding. This is the total. This is what is it would be implied to last year's valuation.
Oh, we have current valuation. Oh, I apologize for that. No, that, yeah, okay.
You don't have the counties.
I don't have the counties. No. The first ones I gave you was with the 3 mill levy of the bond was included in that. 0.336924, so you had to take the 3 mill levy out of that.
I'm not sure why they do that, but it's always with this year's valuation and last year's request. So you
any more questions?
You sure you're not reading last year's mill levy?
Sure sounds like it.
Last year's.
September 2nd, 2015, 9 a.m. I thought we had a 2.9. That's why
2.9 is with
the 2.9 is just the county.
2.9 is everything. The county levy alone is 0.267761 with the 3-cent bond.
I have it.
The total would be 0.297766, which is up from 0.336924 from last year.
Right. Now
my question
that's
is
not right. Yeah.
Yep, and my question is how do we approve or disapprove resolutions setting the tax request when we haven't approved the county budget? We have the county budget after that. I would think we'd approve the county budget and then set the resolution.
Well, we're setting the rate, and then there's actually the budget that, because the rate is affected by the total dollar amount that we're asking for. And then the budget.
How do we know what we're asking for if we don't know what our budget is?
Well, we're setting it as a function of the levy that we're setting based on the valuation the total dollars will bring in.
Right.
So this particular levy amount will bring in this amount of dollars, which will then be expended in this budget, proposed to help fund the expenditures in this budget.
I don't understand the same thing, because how do you set a rate if you don't know what you're spending? I mean, you're guessing. In effect, you're taking from last year and you're adjusting your rate when you haven't approved the budget, which would influence how much you need in the rate.
But we're approving the increase, the tax request at a different rate. The rate will bring in this amount of dollars, and then with that amount of dollars, we are approving the budget that will expend that amount of dollars.
And Danny, we asked for amendments, and there weren't any. So this was what had been proposed and what would have been publicly advertised. So that we did one before the other or not wouldn't matter here, because our rate is known based on the budget that was publicly advertised.
In my mind, it's one of those.
No, I understand. I understand where you're coming from. That you really should approve the budget, and then after that, the rate based on that budget. But because of this has been known ahead of time, and that this has been publicly advertised, and we did not change anything by any amendments, we do know both of these amounts or whatever.
So as long as we're being legal and taking care of everything appropriately.
And back to, we did on our resolution 15-15, the 2015-16 property tax request, including the amount for the 3 mill levy bond, is that number was right, $9,005,244.59. Then our proposed, our levy based on that amount will be, including the 3 mill levy for the bond, will be 0.297766. So we did have that number wrong in here, and that is changed now. So our county is actually 0.267766. So if that helps. If not, Don will have those numbers up here later to make sure for you guys or whatever.
Did you have that wrong, Don?
Yeah.
The
record show.
I was planning on this.
I think that was the responsibility of the finance chairman.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
It's clear until September before you had that one mistake.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Yeah, sorry.
And last year it was 0.336964. 2.4?
Last year was, well, I think that number is wrong in here, too, because 1.366. It was 0.336924.
Right.
Maybe Don needs the spreadsheet that I gave to Mr.
No, no, no. It was 0.3. It was 0.36. It was our county was 0.33. No, we didn't go from
2.4. Where's this one then?
This includes the 3 mill levy.
That's where the 3 comes up here.
The 3. The 3 taken out there is the 26.
That's pretty more. We got this straightened out.
This is not.
Hold him back if he stands up.
It's 366. That should have been 3.3
mill levy.
Exactly.
This was this county.
I said the budget.
Your numbers
this right here, this should have been 3.3.
Yeah. Probably that low.
With the 3% bond, 3 mill levy bond. Okay.
Oh, it's close.
Yeah.
This one last year, you added 3 onto that.
We're looking at last year's number here in the resolution to make sure that's right.
Should we take a recess?
Here's one. Last year.
Might as well.
3.36924.
Yeah, that's
some sort of new kick game. No. I saw the paper this weekend. Some was right.
Is it
14?
Doesn't have any losers.
14.
Yeah, I think that's
15.
14, 15 probably doesn't have any tax. What is this?
0.33. Wow. Yeah. And there was another correction on here.
Dang computers and
on our resolution earlier on the resolution, it had the right 2014-15 property tax request of $8,795,845.76. But we did also have an extra 3 mill levy in there for the levy, and that last year we were at 0.336924. Including the bond, and this year we're at 0.297766. So, sorry for the confusion, but trying to get the right. You got it right? You had it right already?
No, it's right on her.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the
budget. But on this resolution that we'll be signing was wrong. So that's why we were trying to get it straight. So,
see, Doug, you get all the information even before we do.
Yeah.
Right. My signature's nowhere on any of that.
Oh, so what happens when you shift a form and you use last year and you have to shift it around, and I looked at it?
We do have the right numbers on here now. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 with all 7 voting A. Yes. Now, approve or disapprove resolution adopting the county budget for fiscal year 2015-2016.
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion by Bauman, second by Juergens.
And this was resolution 15-16.
15-16.
We're at that point of the resolutions where that just worked out just right for the years.
Yeah.
That's our 16th resolution. Mm-hmm. Any more discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I would say we should probably go line by line and verify all the numbers, since the clerk has also prepared this document.
You guys keep telling me you're going to change all this stuff.
Okay.
Several groups of people out here were paying by the hour while they're sitting here waiting for us later.
We'll skip that.
And Bauman's paying for lunch.
Okay, yeah. I'm done.
Did they get a 20% increase this year?
Ooh, they may have. Ask Bill. I don't know.
Gus wasn't listening.
No.
Oh, he heard.
Vote is 7-0.
Make one mistake and you're.
And we all have to sign this on.
This is what happens to everybody.
We need to sign that. Discuss and approve or disapprove updated Gage County and Beatrice urban area maps with the revised system and boundaries in areas under county's jurisdiction and having chairman sign.
Okay, there moves
this way. Donna, explain this one a little bit.
Okay, we just received the maps on it. I think it's based on the census. And Galen and I went through this.
Yeah.
Last year, they created new boundaries for the urban area and then changed some colors and things on the counties. And he had an old map, and we compared it. I don't know, Galen, do you want to say anything about it? I mean, it's...
It looked fine to me.
Look fine. And this is a federal aid urban area boundary update, and the maps are included. And this needs this will be going to the state and Nebraska Department of Roads.
This is the map, and then they they sent a blown up section of the city.
City of Beatrice.
With the new boundaries. Mm-hmm. And they want us to sign off saying that they agree with it.
One paragraph in here, I have enclosed copies of the updated Gage County and Beatrice urban area maps for review by the Gage County Board of Supervisors. If the board concurs with the revised system and boundaries, in areas under county jurisdiction, have a designated representative sign the signature blocks and return the maps.
I couldn't make copies for everybody. This outside here is the new boundary for the urban where this shows.
So, get on to Don and review those. So, and it's fine. Yeah.
We couldn't find really anything besides just the colors on county.
Motion to approve. Second.
Second.
Okay. You had a question?
Yeah. Has Roger had a chance to review this, and what's the ramifications of doing this? And I mean, is it
honestly? No, I haven't seen it. I mean, I don't know if it's changing like the zoning boundaries or anything else. I mean,
It says here after each decennial census, the Federal Highway Administration initiates an update applying the latest census data to the federal aid urban area boundaries. Along with this update, the functional classifications are reviewed. As per guidelines from the FHWA, the State Transportation Agency shall have the primary responsibility for developing and updating urban area boundaries and functional classifications.
I can see that Roger hasn't had a chance to review this. I won't. Unless
again,
Roger,
I'm going to be honest with you. The first person I'm going to talk to is Galen, because I have no idea. Is this qualifying projects for federal funding, or do you have any idea?
That I can't answer.
It doesn't say. Showing the letter. It just updating the census boundaries.
Is there a date that's going to be done?
Yeah, on the 9th.
By the 9th.
It says please.
Well, and the questions this could have on tax valuation, because if you have something that was urban that now becomes rural, you know, you're looking at value on that land being different than what it is inside the city.
These maps come from them.
Yeah, and I think when Galen and I looked at
we didn't change them.
Urban area, that's stuff they've annexed already. It's showing the outlines of the areas that they've annexed.
And the City of Beatrice will also approve theirs, because this also they get their own, the City of Beatrice does.
So there's nothing that's been changed that will affect how we value our land?
Well, from what I gathered from looking at it, it looks like the areas that the city has annexed in over the years, it looked like that was on that map. And the boundary limits, I don't know if that's been extended any. I'm not aware of it, but I can't be 100% sure on the boundaries.
But our valuation or anything was still up to our assessor's office. It wouldn't come based off of these. This has something to do with the way it reads with federal.
But the assessor's office has to do it according to Turk guidelines.
Right.
And if Turk says this is going to be valued this way, then it can have an effect.
But we still don't have an opportunity. We may be able to make recommendations or change. We don't set the maps. I mean, the maps.
We just take it regardless.
What if we don't accept it? What happens?
Yeah, why do they ask us to accept it if we don't have anything to do with it?
I didn't understand it. That's why I had him look at it.
I think we need to have a better understanding before we vote on it.
Wait for Roger's comments here. Everybody sign that.
Well, Harry might be right here. I mean, if we don't, what's changed here? I guess I don't know what the.
Do you have any idea, Matt? What they're? Nope.
I'm guessing, and I'm only speculating.
Yeah.
And who are you?
It's probably, like, if you get on the Department of Roads website, they have a map clearinghouse, and I think these will go on that Department of Roads website for people to download now. Where I would be leery to say go ahead and approve it would be federal funding for highways and roads is based on urban or rural dollars. And if the limits of the town changed, expanded probably, then it might affect where the dividing line was between an urban City of Beatrice project and a Gage County.
But by reading the letter, it says based on the last census, this is their updated map of our county.
I want to be the official word.
I'm
thinking it's for transportation purposes.
Mr. Chairman, I will withdraw my motion pending further information, and we'll miss their deadline, and I don't really care.
Yeah, but it's talking about zoning jurisdictions and boundaries of the city, and quite frankly, I want to trust everybody, but it's also talking about revisions by both the city and the county, then they submit it to somebody else to look at.
Probably worth.
Well, I trust the state government to help me out defining boundaries. Like, well, we just don't. We need to find out what. And maybe nothing's changed. That'd be the nice thing to know.
I'd err on the side of caution.
State government? What's that again?
I thought he was on the record of saying he trusts state government.
I trust the
Gary Matt, remove his motion.
Yeah,
that's fine with you.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. We'll have we'll refer this to Galen or Don, and we'll check to see what ramifications are. We'll get more information on this and have it on our next meeting date.
It'd be helpful if we just find out what the change is from the last maps.
Right.
I mean, if they could superimpose them, because we may be arguing about very little or nothing.
I'm not arguing. I just don't want to assume something, and then later you know what assumptions.
Well, the last paragraph talks about revisions by both entities, both city council and this board.
We'll visit with the city also to see what or anything on theirs, and we'll do some more digging.
Storecraft may be in the city limits all of a sudden.
No matter
now. The motion and the second have been withdrawn, so we're moving on. Approve or disapprove amendment to county health insurance plan.
Set something close before. Or do you need to?
No, because this is an amendment that is for our county health insurance plan, and. Because of the situation they talked to with the large claim, we had on our county health insurance plan that a baby of a dependent, that is the dependent being R&R insurance plan, the baby the first 30 days was covered. We changed that 2 years ago on our health insurance plan. We added that. That has, because of that, that's been the result of our claim that was so large. This change, what we're proposing now is to pull that off of our health insurance plan and not have that as part of our health insurance plan. That 30-day coverage for a newborn baby of a dependent on our health insurance plan. That's what the amendment is.
Yes, it would be the dependent of a dependent of an employee.
Right.
It's not an employee's child. It's the child of a dependent of an employee.
Yes.
We never had it before.
But we added it 2 years ago.
Added it because it would never happen.
Right. Because we were, we had a lot of discussion at that time, and we added it because of coverage for that newborn for the first 30 days. We had an unfortunate situation here where this happened, and now we're going to propose an amendment to withdraw that part from our county health insurance plan.
I guess I've got two questions on this. One, have we determined how they could have had insurance prior to the actual birth?
The response I have on that was, no, she has to wait till the baby is born, and then the new policy covers at the date of birth, but delivery charges are not covered. I asked if there was a process that they could obtain insurance while they were expecting, so that when they delivered, they would be covered immediately. And no, there isn't.
So there's always a gap there, then.
Apparently, the delivery would not be covered. That's what her response was back to me. I said, "Can the mother request family insurance while pregnant so the baby is covered at birth? No, she has to wait till the baby is born, and then the new policy covers at the date of birth, but delivery charges are not covered." So, yes and no. The baby could be covered, not for the delivery charges, so I don't know whether neonatal, different things like that, if something would happen, then that would be covered, maybe.
And now, this one happened to be the child of an employee that was covered under the 26-year age limit. But could that also apply to an employee that was given birth? I mean, if we don't...
Because that's their dependent.
Okay.
This is the employee's dependent. I mean, the dependent's dependent.
I guess it bothers me that they'd be without insurance for a period of time.
Right.
Won't be without care.
Gary?
Yeah.
Without care, but that's
Gary.
Yeah.
I guess a couple of questions come to mind first. I mean, most insurance programs have that where when we have a child, that child's covered by our insurance. Because I'm on that insurance program, they're covered for that first 30 days, which this person was a dependent or was covered by our insurance. So if she has, yes. So if she has a baby, that baby's going to be covered for the first 30 days, I would assume.
No.
Not without this.
You're going one level too, or one layer too many for most insurance companies.
Yeah. Really? Is that the way it is, Roger? Okay.
And honestly, I think they're still trying to sort out under the new standard, Obamacare standards, and honestly, guys, I think they're still trying to sort some of this stuff out.
That was my second question. Because of the new standard and the 26 years old and all this coverage change, is even if we change this amendment, are they going to come back and say, no, you have to have that coverage?
Well, I assume the insurance company would have known that immediately.
Would they? Okay.
And if we remove the amendment today, or we approve the amendment to remove this, we're still obligated to pay that, so it's not... It was in effect, that'll be paid. It would just be going forward. Yeah, so there's, in this particular situation, we're still paying for that.
That's done and passed because that was our policy at that time.
Okay.
It still seems strange to me that there's no coverage for birth.
My next question is if we do this.
Another comment here.
The response was when I did question her, is there any way, because through this process, there was some Medicaid involved for the child. And I asked her the question on what coverage they had. She said, basically, there is no coverage after the birth. That is how all plans work, which is why Gage County adopted this policy that the child could have time to secure coverage. You don't have to remove the amendment if you do not want to. So it's, you know, we can keep it, but we're not unique in not having it. We were unique in adopting it. So it's however you want to do it.
And I guess it's one of those things that, you know, it probably was a rare occurrence that it happened, and it's going to, you know, cost a significant amount of money. But by the same token, I don't want to leave anybody out there that can't have insurance during that time frame.
Just seems so strange that there's not a...
Yeah.
Go on a family plan or something while you're pregnant. No idea what we do.
It sounds like if you have a family plan, you know, the baby's covered at birth, but the delivery charges are not covered.
Yeah.
The new policy covers at the date of birth, but delivery charges are not covered.
Delivery would be covered by the existing insurance then?
Delivery charges would not be covered. If we didn't have the 30 days and she decided to get a family plan so that the minute the baby was born, the baby would be covered at birth, but not the delivery charges. Now, how much delivery charges?
And I know we're up against our amendment deadline, but my thought would be to let it ride this year and have our stuff in line for next year and hope it don't happen again for... Both reasons, cost and expense.
What was the increase in cost? What was the bill?
Well, the bill was, the first bill was $211,000. The bill that I received is $171,000.
So almost $400,000 with respect.
I'm still trying to work out that second one because I'm not sure if that was within the 30 days if they've sent that to me correctly. But, yes, the first one was.
I guess I don't see why we keep it. I'd say get rid of it now, myself.
The threshold is the $45,000.
We know the $211,000 claim for sure is. The others she don't know for sure yet.
I've got to check in if they rebuild it to us or why. I just got that one.
Yeah. Well, we'll entertain a motion to approve or disapprove. Well, we have the amendment. We have the amendment to... withdraw that as part of our insurance plan. We have that. That's the amendment right now. So I'll entertain a motion to approve or disapprove that amendment.
Amendment would need to remove it then.
To remove it. The amendment has been to remove it. To remove that
coverage of that dependent of an employee's newborn baby for that 30-day period, to remove that off our policy.
When do we have to have amendments in?
Baby. No, the
you can
the baby of a dependent
plan.
Of
right
an employee.
Now we're starting a new plan year, so now's we can, I think, always do amendments.
I still wish I wish they had an answer. There's got to be something. I don't know if I'm missing something. It seems odd that there has to be a gap there where they won't cover delivery. You can get a family plan and cover a baby from day of birth. You can cover the mother up to day of birth. But then there's that window of the actual giving birth that's not covered. Are we missing something here? I mean, that seems...
Jim Leggett.
You're in the medical field, Matt. I need an answer here.
What's four kids, they were all covered. So I'm not familiar with this gap that's being...
That's the thing. I don't know how that works.
All the insurance. And so when the child is born, you know, the biggest thing is they get the care. And if there's a deficit, then it's the provider that eats that cost, but the child gets the care. That's the main thing. So the child will be taken care of. Some of those, the prep of the beforehand of notifying, making sure that you have insurance. In this particular situation, it's the dependent of an employee's child. And my understanding was there wasn't, and it gets kind of specific, which we probably should, shouldn't talk too much about that, but moreover, there may or may not have been some pre-planning as to how the insurance was going to work. But I'm
lack thereof. Yeah.
Yep.
The difficult thing that, and Roger brought it up, the difficult thing is that you're in a new era where, it used to be at 21 years of age, correct? At 21 years of age, you dropped off of your insurance or your parents' insurance, and you had to go out and get your own. Now you have this older age limit, and you have dependents that are staying on because they're available to get that insurance, and you have a situation like this. So, to me, it only seems right that it's covered in this, that there shouldn't even have to be an amendment for it to be covered. Maybe I'm not getting my hands around it for some reason. I'm kind of like Eric. This just
seems odd.
Yeah, something just don't add up. I don't know.
Most of these comments Dawn's been making, she's been emailing Amber, who has helped us, or who's our main insurance person, and those are her comments from her. And, other than that, I don't know either. I know when we had our meeting, I can remember we had it, Denny and I were there, and we had quite a discussion on this at the time, and we decided to cover it as part of our county's insurance plan, and we approved that year, 2 years ago. And then this came about. So, but I'll entertain a motion, I guess, if we want to wait. I don't know, can we wait? I mean, we can wait, or we can wait 2 weeks. Right now it's currently part of our plan. We can wait 2 weeks and have it on for discussion again and see if we get more information and then vote on it, or...
Is this the amendment deadline?
Well, this is the beginning of our new plan.
Right.
I don't know. I assume you can amend your plan at any point in time. This is just the beginning of the plan, and everybody knows going forward now this is a new plan.
And to clarify, we're not pulling the carpet out from current coverage and our obligation. That's not an issue. It would just be moving forward.
Right. If we can wait 2 weeks, I think we wait 2 weeks. And
can we ask more specific questions? You've already asked your specific questions.
I don't know
questions,
how else to ask anything else.
Maybe ask what pays for giving birth, then. That just seems so odd.
Maybe.
I'll
do this. Either committee meeting or board meeting next time, if we could have Amber down here.
Yeah.
And I think this in here, we're not sure of. We need more clarification. If she could come down and visit with us.
Get her on the phone if she can't.
Yeah. Or even get her on the phone if she don't want to come down.
I think we need to. But it just seems really odd if you're on a plan that anything that happens to you during that time, even having...
Amber's the one that really works with us. They're really our expertise in this, and outside of that...
I know it's not politically correct, but that's one of the expenses with women. As a rule, men don't give birth. So, that's just one of those inherent expenses in...
Is that a political thing?
That's higher. That's why. We're buying higher for heart disease.
Why are you blushing when you're talking about this?
Let's do that. We'll include this on our next agenda, and hopefully Amber can be at the board meeting or on the phone at the board meeting, and then we can have a lot of these same questions, because I think until that time, we're just not ready to go forward with this. So, okay, discuss and approve or disapprove appointing Engage board member to replace Matt Bauman.
Rationale for this is the board voted to change their meeting times to 3:30. They moved it up from 4:00. And because I work, I cannot say that 100% of the time I can get to the meetings. And knowing some of the issues that came up with the prior economic development group and accusations of lack of information, I certainly don't want to be accused of not giving information because I don't have it because I'm not at the meeting. If the board is comfortable with me with intermediate attendance at the meetings and giving the information as much as I can, I'm comfortable with that, but I want to bring that and be very forthright that I cannot say 100% of the time that I can be at 100% of the meetings.
And I never talked to Gary, but I would recommend Gary, but I don't know if Gary would make a comment.
I guess what I would like to say is I think Matt does an excellent job on that, and if we could go forward staying the way we are and when it works, because I think
you're the alternate.
I'm the alternate.
Okay.
So if there's something that's going to come up that, you know, you need me to be there or whatever, because I don't want to be the permanent guy either, because there's too many times where I'll have a customer walk in the office over there and I can't get away all of a sudden. So I don't know that I could be dependable enough to be there all the time either.
They're changing the time from when to when?
Well, from 4 to 3:30. So then where I work, I have to leave it.
Why are they changing the time?
There's the majority of the board feels that that's a better time for them to meet.
So the majority of the board has said, let's change it.
And
what if we say that this doesn't work for us, that we need to be at 4? Will you understand and respect the county's wish?
Well, at times it was difficult for myself to get there at 4. And granted, it's one meeting a month, but just like anything else, when your day kind of takes off and there's multiple members, I'm the one representative from the county. The board has multiple folks, so periodically if they are short a member, it's not quite as big a deal. And my main focus is to make sure that I'm giving this group information. And if I'm not able to do that consistently, then full disclosure that
I think it's important that we definitely have representation.
Yes, I do too.
I do that.
And if you know, and I know that there was a comment by at least one member, well, it'd be nice to have one person all the time. And I said, well, that's just, you know, that's hard. I don't want to play fruit basket upset all the time, but I think we need to have somebody there. And I know at times I've called other folks to sit in, but. If we're comfortable with the system, we can keep going. But I wanted to make sure I brought that up.
I guess between Gary and Matt here, the two of you, are you comfortable with that type of arrangement, I guess?
Well, if that's an issue with their board and you want somebody there consistently all the time, I think if that's an issue, then maybe we should look at...
Well, I look at that as an issue, but I also look at it now. We have two or three people that are more informed than just one all the time. I mean, it's a plus and a minus. I understand why they'd like one, so you're more aware. But
how important is that to have that continuity there? I mean, in your opinion.
I think it is important because I know that there's times I miss and folks have felt, and I read the minutes and they come across and, I catch up. But if you're not there, it's important.
And how often, what day of the week do you guys meet? When?
Thursday.
What's that?
Third Thursday. So, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, well, it's one day a month. How can you not? Well, I've got five different things I've got to do one day a month. And so it's just, everybody's busy. I just wanted to say that, my intentions are to always get there. But quite frankly, that, the day comes and it falls apart and you can't. I'm an hour plus away, so.
Right. Let's leave it at that for now. I think we'll put it on next meeting agenda yet, which is also the day before that meeting. If somebody else has an idea or if somebody else would like to really be our one representative, we will visit about it again on the 16th.
Put this on the next agenda.
Next agenda.
And I enjoy it, actually. I enjoy the discussions. I enjoy the insight.
Well, no, I mean, but that's why we had it here today, so that we had this conversation amongst everybody, so that we kind of get a little better understanding.
Well, my tendency would be to leave our representatives the same and let them adjust as best they can to do the meetings.
I certainly just don't want anyone here to think that
I'm not giving information because sometimes if I miss the meeting, I don't have.
And then it's great for one way or another how, I mean, what that board thinks about a representative, but this board here still gets to decide how, I mean, our representative.
Just whenever I see time-wise. Any kind of news media coverage as far as Engage, the county is never mentioned as part of being part of that group. So I see the city of Beatrice, I see Main Street, I see all these. I never see the county of Gage in there. But anyway, that's my personal opinion.
We will have that discussion again. We will have more discussion at our next meeting again.
Sounds
but right
good.
Now, we'll still.
And just this is my request, not Engage's. This was my request.
Right. Okay. Next up, we have closed session. We're going to do several things. We're going to have an update on some litigation, and we are going to have some update on negotiations. And also, we have one personnel issue we're going to also have in that closed session. So I entertain a motion to go into closed session at 11:41 for the necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So I need
a motion.
A motion
by Lytle, second by Tiemann. Vote 7-0. And it looks like they want to maybe a couple minute break before we go into closed session. So.
Jesus.
Okay.
1:13 on the clock. I entertain a motion to come out of executive session.
I would move to come out of executive session.
Second.
Motion by Denny, second by John. Vote 7-0. Anything else anybody have? Otherwise, the meeting will be adjourned.
Jerry's left early. Mark him down.
Thanks, Matt.
See you later. Thanks, y'all.
Yeah.